welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Well, let's see who's on the show today. Roy from Siegfried and Roy is going to be calling in. He's on the mend. We'll have him on the phone. Actor Frank Vincent, you know him as Phil Leotardo from The Sopranos, he'll call in. Seth Green coming in, always a favorite. Donald Trump going to be calling in.
The real Donald Trump. Yes. The actual Donald Trump. Mr. Trump.
Yes.
Wonderful. That's very exciting stuff.
Why? You don't think Roy is the real Roy?
And no. No, I mean, looking even more forward to that.
But yet you didn't react.
Well, we've spoken to him before, and I always find his visits over the phone inspirational.
Okay. They're saying the bloom's off the rose with Roy.
Yesterday's
news. But
Trump
has not called in yet.
Yes.
All right. Dick Vitale.
Exciting.
Okay, good.
Basketball institution.
All right. All right. And recent cast-off from American Idol. Cast-off is one of those weird things. It's like I hadn't really heard. I don't know. You never really use it in your life. Teresa Strasser's here. Am I saying Strasser correctly?
Yes, you are. Thank you.
Teresa is filling in for Rachel Perry. Teresa is has many credits to her credit. While you're out on TLC, which is a huge show, was a huge show. It's still on, right?
Yes, I am no longer the host, but it is still on.
It was bigger when you were doing it.
Thank you. I didn't want to point that out, but it was a top five cable show.
And then when you left, the wheels came off the wagon.
It could be a coincidence.
No. No, it's not. You took the show with you. Also, won an Emmy for Win Ben Stein's Money.
That's right. I was a writer on that show.
You know, I forgot Jimmy Kimmel had an Emmy for that, too. Mm-hmm. Ever since the hot glue he used to affix it to the roof of his car. Ever since that rain. We had a big rain last year. Remember the big torrential rains? Set
sure.
a record. It popped off. And he hasn't put it back on yet.
Well, I know. I'm surprised he carries it though, for the past year. He carries it into every room he walks in.
Well, didn't he give it to Susan Lucci?
He did, but that was just for a photo op. He's got it back. He had it actually just made into a keychain. He keeps his keys on it. Like sort of a very talented janitor. So, I'm sorry. Tell us about yourself, Teresa. What do we need to know?
Well,
where are you from? What do you like?
I'm from San Francisco.
Seems like once in a while I hear from where people were raised in what I would consider places that are almost too sane or too nice. You ever do? I feel that way about San Francisco.
Yeah.
Maybe not Oakland, but San Francisco.
Well, I am, and this music takes me back. I grew up in the inner city.
Oh, you did?
San Francisco.
The inner city.
Yes.
No wonder this music takes you back.
Yeah.
I think inner city. It's
you think Muzak.
Yes.
Yes.
My mom now lives in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
She works at the sports book.
That doesn't sound healthy.
I placed a bet with her once. That was a weird feeling.
Really?
Yeah. I just slid my $10 across and
There she was, huh?
Yeah. I bet on the Clippers and she looked at me and said, don't bet with your heart.
My mother, we didn't gamble. But she did tell me when I was six that the over-under on her and Pop's divorce was 8.5. I took the under and still spending the money.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you want, you know, I don't know why, but my mind, when you were telling me about Vegas, San Francisco, it just made me think, you ever travel, you're driving around, maybe going a little weekend excursion with the Mr. and Mrs., and you're driving up through the hills because you're going to go snowboarding for the weekend or you're going up to Hearst Castle or something, and you pass a high school that's like Mount Pinos High School in Lake whatever, and you look at this place nestled in between the ponderosa pine trees, and you think, who goes to high school here?
Mm-hmm.
There's no other, a ski lift feeds it. Everything looks new and pristine, but looks like it holds about 200 people. And you think, would it be good to go to a high school that was this sane? I mean, this secluded, this off the beaten path, this, you know, no crime, no graffiti, no racial whatever, no anything. Or are you screwing your kids up? It's like raising them in a snow globe and eventually they're going to have to go out into the real world.
Right. That's like Pepperdine.
I mean,
you think if you go there.
But at least you're in college.
True.
By then, to me, when I'm going up to, you know, you're going up to Lake Arrowhead, and it's like Lake Arrowhead High School. And you think, wow, what?
I think, as a matter of fact, I think you're a little jaded by having grown up in L.A. because to me, it's so foreign. The only thing I can do watching those 80s pictures, the teenage pictures, just one of the guys and stuff like this.
Sure.
You know, is that you have school that the high school kids, you know, their classrooms. Oh, Karate Kid.
Sure.
You're outside when you're not in the class. When you walk from one class to the other, you're outside. You eat lunch under the sun. I thought, well, this must be some Hollywood creation, but in fact, you drive around the schools in L.A. Oh yeah, the students walk around sunning themselves.
Same in Beaver Falls, they wouldn't do that.
No,
eat indoors.
Of course not. Yes,
eat. Do you eat in the cafeteria? Do you eat in the gymnasium? Where do you eat lunch?
They have a cafeteria. Sure,
all right.
That's where you're from, Beaver Falls,
Pittsburgh, PA. Yes.
All right. I'm sorry, Teresa. So, mom became addicted to coke and gambling and went to Nevada. Now, what about dad?
Dad, was a mechanic for 30 years,
mm-hmm.
possibly the only Jewish mechanic.
Not possibly.
Definitely.
Definitely the only Jewish mechanic.
Definitely.
We're checking into his heritage, too. He may be half Jewish.
Yeah. I mean, you know when you take your car to the mechanic and they say, oh, it's $800 to fix it, and you mm-hmm. do the math and you think, you know what? I'd rather just leave my car there. It's not worth $800 to fix. Those are the cars that I would get.
Oh, really?
Right.
Yeah, because every guy who works, you know, independent place, especially that works on cars, there's always somebody who leave, you know, they drop it off to get a transmission rebuild. Then they don't pick it up in a few weeks. Then there's some sort of storage thing where they charge the guy $50 a month. Before you know it, 6 months has gone by, the bill's $1,800, and the guy says, look, the car, blue book on the car is
$1,250. Right.
Yeah, go ahead and take it. Interesting. So those are the cars he brought home.
Yeah.
But a mitzvah, as his mechanics would say, that he knew how to work on the crappy car, and that you could always, if the thing was on the fritz, he'd just drive it into work that day, right?
Yes. God bless him. I had many. And, you know, a Honda can go 300,000 miles, really,
sure.
if it's properly cared for.
Yes.
So
even though yours may have had 225 when you got it, that's still 75,000 miles for you to put on it.
Better than the bus.
And Jewish, not from Mechanicsburg, though, right? From somewhere else. We were discussing this last week. An ironically named place, Mechanicsburg.
No, not from there.
So your dad, the only Jew that ever turned a wrench.
Possibly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and people always would ask me, like, what does your dad do? You know, because I'm a writer, so they would think a professor, doctor. Nope.
Wow, yeah, it's good, keeping it real.
Yeah.
Must have been confusing for the customers. I mean, he'd go like, you want I should change the head gasket? You want I should change the throw-out bearing?
Well, he wouldn't throw in the Yiddish.
He wouldn't do the want I should change?
Well, you know, it would be like, you know, I could rebuild your alternator, but, I mean, the whole thing is just mashugana.
Mm, yeah. Such a pressure plate. It wouldn't speak that way. Yeah. Well, listen, those are just the American Jews. I'm sure there are Jews around the world that actually have to roll up their sleeves at some point and get some work done, yes?
True.
Your father, old school, throwback. So, he's living where now? Still in the Bay Area?
Yeah, up north.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, I mean, Jesus was a carpenter and a Jew.
Yeah. They say that, you know, I always hear that because I'm a carpenter. It's always that, well, Jesus was a carpenter and Harrison Ford was a carpenter. I'd like to compete against those two. I think I'd whoop them both.
You think you can
I really
take
do.
Them?
And I got to understand that, you know, first off, let me just say going in, it's not a popularity contest. I understand I may lose a few friends when I put the smackdown on the J-Man when it comes to the carpentry. And I'm standing over him. And it starts with a verbal thing, you know? I'm like, hey, J-Man, hey, Jesus, I'm laying out a rec room. What's the layout on the framing studs? And he's like, I don't know, 18 on center, 16 on center, next. And he's like, I'm sorry, we didn't have tape. Excuses are like a-holes. We all have one and they all stink. Who's next? Harrison. Here we go. Now I got a two-story building and I'm shear-walling the outside of it. What should I go? CDX half-inch ply or ACX 5/8 ply or OSB? Harrison like, CDX half-inch ply? Very lucky. Label in or label out? Label in. Ah! I'm sorry.
Look, look, look. Shame Jesus all you want, right. But don't take down Han Solo.
I'm just saying, everyone always tells me what a carpenter is. I'd like to have a little competition with him and Jesus.
I think Jesus does get nervous when the nails and 2x4s come out.
You got to think about it. Yeah. Yeah. Technically, I think it was a 4x he was hung on, but I know what you're saying.
You know, you get.
I never considered the irony of his death. Yeah.
Yeah.
Using his tools against him.
Yeah. I hear he gouged the elderly. And again, I'm an atheist, so I can speak freely, but there is some historical precedent there.
His
there really
bids
is.
Were overblown for some of his contracting jobs?
Well, you know, he would go cost plus 10% normally, but I hear sometimes when he worked with some of the elderly that he jacked that stuff up. A lot of contractors did it back then. Again, maybe it's just a fetus flock. All right, where are we? Roy's calling in.
Now, Roy actually just called. He's not feeling well, so he can't be on the program.
Oh.
Well, he never feels well, does he?
I mean, how well can he feel? He's been mauled by a tiger, right?
Well, it's been a rough time for him. But yeah, Brian, the phone screener, just told me that he's not calling in.
Wow. But he called in to say he wasn't going to call in?
That's the bizarre thing.
Well, not if you know Roy, like we know Roy. But... all right. Well, that's it. Show's over as far as I'm concerned. We need to take a break in that case. But let me say this. I do want to talk, talk a little about the whole set the clock back thing. First, my wife and I argued for the better part of an hour whether it was going to be lighter in the morning or not lighter in the morning. I won that argument. That's one of the big setbacks here with setting the clock back. We discussed, Sheck and I were on cloud nine over the last couple of weeks because it had gotten lighter probably by margin of fivefold. I was going to say tenfold. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but you never hear about fivefold or twofold. I think they just go twice as much. There's only tenfold. There's not 20-fold or fivefold or 11-fold. You never hear about by 13.5-fold.
It's awkward.
Yeah, it's awkward. But about fivefold. When we started this gig 3 months ago, it was pitch black in the morning. Over the last week, it became light in the morning, and there was something psychologically very advantageous to driving to work when it was light outside.
Lovely, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Seasonal affective
rising
disorder.
Rising sun.
Yes.
When you don't get photons in your eyeballs.
Right. I didn't get any photons in my eyeballs this morning. I got to get some glasses that charge those into my eyeballs. I was driving in this morning. It was pitch black. Psychologically, I mean, I was crying.
Yes.
I was a wreck.
What can we do?
I don't know that there's anything you can do. I'm not sure how to remedy it. We enjoyed a good week of it, and it was gone.
But once you get a taste of that, the sun rising as you're driving in for just a week or two, as you say, I felt like I almost couldn't see. It was so dark out driving my car in here.
Yes.
Morning. Yes.
Yes, it was tough. So the point is this will not be back, right? I mean, we will get no... Now, we will inch toward some sunlight in the morning, but we'll never get there. We're never going to make up the hour we just lost, right?
No, but forget about, let me tell you this, though. What was far grimmer is the idea that when you're putting your head down, if you go to bed before 9 o'clock in the p.m.,
mm-hmm.
that it may be light outside. That's going to feel awful.
Yeah, the other thing I realized you should do, and I, you know... been on this planet for 40 years. I've never worked this whole change to clock when I'm supposed to change a clock. Now it's more confusing because there's some clocks that change themselves in my house and others that don't.
Yes.
I would argue that like airbags in cars, they just either no new clock should be sold that does not change itself, and all the old ones should be handed in and exchanged for some voucher toward a new one, because I did this thing yesterday, and I felt good about it once I found out, but I was staring at my clock the entire morning going, Jesus Christ, it's what time? 8:57, and it's really 9:57, which really means it's 10 in the morning, and I still haven't gotten out of bed yet. I kept that going to about 10:30, but the clock had changed itself. And I'm such an idiot, where 6 months earlier, I was looking at the same clock, and I was saying... Oh, it says 8:57. That's all right. It's really 7:57. No, it had changed that way, too. And then when I got into the car this morning, I turned the car on. Oh, it's 4:30. Oh, cry. Oh. And then that's when it sets in. wait a minute, it really is 4:30. It's not 5:30. It's 4:30. This clock, so I didn't set this car clock. This is the time that it was a day ago. It's just, for my money, that's still the time it is. I mean, again, I broke down in tears.
Well,
that's all.
Every year, every time, every 6 months when the clock changes one direction or the other, I always get screwed. I always show up late or early or something like that somewhere. It always gets me. So this year, this time, I remedied it by not leaving the house the entire weekend.
Smart.
Therefore, I couldn't get burned by it.
I know.
Wow.
His wife was out of town. Basketball was on.
There you go. Becoming a shut-in is the answer to a lot of life's ills.
Fantastic, believe me.
I agree.
They brought me food.
Yeah, and you know, people are constantly trying to encourage people to get out of the house. I'd like them to stay home more often. First off, you do damage to nobody when you're at home.
That's exactly right.
Right.
You do marginal damage to yourself through, you know, whatever you consume and excessive masturbation and stuff like that. But you really do no permanent damage to yourself. It's not like you're home cutting yourself and huffing copier toner or something. You're watching too much TV. You're staying up a little too late. You're drinking a little too much red wine. That seems to be the result of the damage or the most that you're doing to yourself. And you're not out there getting drunk and rear-ending guys that are trying to come into this beautiful country of ours legally. All right, I'm breaching into this sack here because we're going to continue our limerick wars. Now, we stumbled onto this in January of 98, and we've been beating this dead horse ever since. Yeah, we decided that limericks were kind of funny, and they're certainly insulting, and it's a nice way to get something off your chest towards somebody you work with without actually pulling them aside and explaining to them that they're fat or they're bald or they're stupid or they're moronic or their teeth are yellow or they're breath is bad or they're cheap or whatever it is. You do it in a limerick and everyone applauds after you say the same thing. So we're pulling random names out and there's not too many left because we've used almost everyone up. Jerry the intern. Jerry the intern. Jerry the mom who's, mom made us a pineapple cake. He's wearing his hair down. He's full Mexican or half Mexican?
A little bit confused about his sexuality, I believe, as well.
He is or we are? We all are, right? Everyone's confused about your sexuality, Jerry? Yes. Okay. We'll take a quick break. What is that going to say? Yeah, we got news. We got sports. I mean, a lot of shows. Seth Green. Ozzy. He's got a review on Basic Instinct. Actor Frank Vincent is calling in from The Sopranos. All that coming up.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. And do it right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, where was we? Yeah, we're talking limerick wars. First, again, let me set the table here. Actor Frank Vincent, you know him as Phil Leotardo. He's going to be calling in the next break. Ozzy, the great Ozman, in there with a review of Basic Instinct 2. Seth Green, always funny, coming in studio. Donald Trump on the phone. Psychic. Is it Char Margolis? Char Margolis? Always tough with that CH. Anyway, she's a psychic. She's on the Sci-Fi Channel. She'll be in here. She'll be talking to dead people. Dick Vitale is going to be calling in. And Lisa Tucker as well, recent cast-off from American Idol. All right, it is time for our continuing limerick wars. Teresa Strasser is here. She's filling in for Rachel Perry. Hosted a little something called While You're Out, back when it was good and popular. But then the ship started sinking, so she dove off. Now she's here. Jerry is our intern. Jerry is, the jury's still out on Jerry. I got to be honest with you, Jerry. People generally like you, but best not to get them thinking about you at all, I think is kind of the best strategy for you.
Just once I'm not here.
Yeah, if they start thinking of it's one of these things where it's like, Jerry the intern, yeah. See, first, there's some people that are good for one lap. You're good for one lap, you know? It's like, Jerry, yeah, Jerry's a good kid, sweet kid. Really, you think so? Well, you know, I did kind of screw me there. Well, now they start. You know, some people are good for one lap, and that's about as deep as you get with them. You keep going, and then people start sniping and picking you apart, making fun of your hair and your sexual proclivity and things like that. So, although your mom did make a pineapple upside down cake
for
Dave Damashek, right?
She's actually going to make some more for us.
Oh, really?
Sweet.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe not after these lumber.
She's still asleep.
So. I've revised mine a little bit. So let's start. Let's see. Big Tad, you caught my eye with your new look.
How you doing?
Yeah. What's happening?
Wanted to try something
it's
new.
It's a nice look. Yeah.
Thank
Hair
you.
Slick back. New frames on the glass.
Yeah.
Glasses. Rico Lardi. Okay.
You're on the list again.
Uh-oh.
All right. So, Jared. We have an intern named Jerry, who some thinks he's a fairy. I know it's a bad rap, and that's all crap, because in Vegas he felt up Rachel Perry.
Ooh. All right. Solid.
Not bad.
Solid effort. Let's see. Phone screener Brian, I'm just trying to mix up the order here. You ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
Let's hear you.
Okay. There once was a homo named Jerry. He's quiet and creepy and scary. He stares at Angie's boobs even though he likes dudes. His pompadour makes him look like a fairy.
Wow.
That's
solid.
That's double use of fairy so far.
That's no less than three gay references.
Yeah, I think I have 4.5 in mine. Wow. Teresa, you wanna give it a try? I know you don't know Jerry very well, but feel free.
Okay, now that you've introduced me to the concept of the passive-aggressive poem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm new here, so...
Mm-hmm.
I just met Jerry and found him creepy. I hear he's late a lot. I guess he's sleepy. Because it's my first day, I don't have much to say, but hopefully you won't turn on me because I get oversensitive and weepy.
Hmm, interesting. Shoehorned. A little emotion into the end. And turned it on yourself.
Yeah, I have to say, you're not supposed to talk about yourself.
She doesn't know Jerry.
She's
Come
new.
On.
God.
I get with the program.
All right.
Sorry.
Let's go. Dave Damashek,
I think the complainer over there, Bruska, should be the next to go.
All right, Bruska. Let's hear Bruska.
All right. Our least reliable intern is Jerry.
What?
He has nude pictures of little boys saved in his BlackBerry. He's a true creep. He makes the ladies weep. And if he left the show, we all would be merry.
Wow.
Wow.
Merry.
Is that how you really feel?
he came late a couple of times. I'm not over it yet.
Okay.
My strategy, savvy, was to follow Bruska. That's why I pushed you to make him go next.
Mm-hmm.
It's never a bad idea to follow Bruska.
No, why not?
I don't feel that strong about mine.
No,
so.
It's like, look, if you were a chef and you were competing and you knew airline food could go ahead of you every time...
Exactly.
Wouldn't you do it?
Yes.
Yeah, now once in a while, they pull out some kind of Salisbury steak and it works.
Right.
But you're playing the odds.
I have to say I've had at least an 8-5 score on my last four limericks.
You've had a pretty good run.
So be quiet.
You've had a pretty good run. That's right. All right, I'm sorry. I mean prison food. Sorry, Bruce. Go ahead.
All right. Jerry the intern is scarier than Phyllis Diller. He's quiet and scary enough to be a serial killer. But turns out he's a Latino mama's boy. I hope he's gay because girls say he knows how to annoy. He's half man, half wolf like Michael Jackson in Thriller.
Wow. It seemed like a lot of syllables in there, but it was powerfully, you know, it was well executed.
Thoughts,
yeah.
You know,
it was interesting.
Not my best.
It was interesting. Don't beat yourself up.
I hold myself to a higher standard.
Why don't you let Bruska beat you up like he did me?
Yeah, really. All right, who's next? Bill, you want to go?
Sure.
Gay board op Bill, pre-op board op Bill.
Thank you. There will never be the artist formerly known as. Either.
Yeah, I've just decided all gay men are pre-op transsexuals. That's fair. Why not?
Yeah. There once was an intern named Jerry. When he gets drunk, he's creepy and scary. His last name's Al Herrera, Iranian, like the Ayatollah. So, girls, you're safe. His mom has already told him who he's going to marry. It was either that or so the cloth around his head is made out of terry. So, I don't know which one.
Yeah, not your strongest effort.
No.
What do we got? Who's next? Mike?
Well, I may not even have to bother because everybody's taken every rhyme that I had.
Yeah, me too.
I could just do the middle part.
No, this is really turning into one of those Comedy Central roasts where you don't want to go behind Jeff Ross and Sarah Silverman and the 20 other comedians that come before you. Because when Pam Anderson is up there, how many Tommy Lee big dong jokes and how many fake boob jokes are there really? I mean, what do you know about her other than big boobs and Tommy Lee? And you're going 25th and everyone has done 25 minutes and there's been 11 guys who went in front of you. And yes, it's all tapped out. That's
luck of the draw.
But I
do control the applause button, so I may get a standing ovation for this anyway, so it doesn't matter.
All right.
I'll tell you about our intern named Jerry. He's creepy and is really scary. He speaks really low, does not help the show, and people think he might be a fairy.
Hmm, okay. Wow. Yeah. All right. Now, let me see if I can successfully pull mine off. Jeez, I was looking down at my card. I heard the applause, so I'm going to give you a high mark for that, Mike, I got to say.
I wasn't really listening. I tuned out, but, I,
if the audience is any kind of indicator, that's 10-0 work over there. Let's see. I'm going to give you a little. I'm going to give you a little extra because you had to go. You know, going at the end. You know, all the fairies. Because I had a lot of fairy. I have two. I had an alternate one. Yeah, this is tough. I started with a fairy rhyme, and now I'm just going to change it. But now it's a little bit of a push. There once was an intern. I'm starting over. I'm taking a mulligan. There once was an intern named Jerry.
Ooh, la, la.
He's the only Mexican who's ever worked for free. He wears his hair like a queer. He's currently eyeing your rear. And if they change legislation, one day he'll marry. So a little syllable, you know, I hit the second syllable a little bit. I just perform for sport. I don't competitively do limericks anymore. Yes, Mike.
I guess we could have changed fairy to Mary. He might be a Mary.
I had it that way at the beginning. It's just a fairy thing got effed out, I think, by the time Mike rubbed his stink on it. So, let's see. Let's take a look at the score here. Big Tad, 8-0. Very respectable.
Thank you.
Brian, 9.1.
Hell yeah.
I thought that was strong. Teresa, I give you 8.7, a little bit higher than I would have if we were in month number three, but day number one, not a bad effort, despite what Brusca says. That being said, Brusca, 8.8.
All right, thank you.
Nice job.
He beat me.
Did a nice job.
This was the most hurtful.
Damn it.
Oh, mine was the most hurtful?
Wow.
Well, then I succeeded. Make it a
9.8. Damashek, 8.7, not your best work. And again, I'm like one. I'm a coach. You're my star player.
I see.
I don't expect the same out of you as I do out of Timmy out in right field.
No matter what, it still hurts by any standard to lose to Brusca.
You got what you deserve. Popping off
once in a while, the chef loses to the airline. Bill 7-9, confusing, disjointed. Are you high on those Amil poppers or something right now? What do you guys do for breakfast?
No, you're not. I get to run the commercials here, so I'm still working while you guys gleefully riding away.
All right. Mike, 9-0. Again, I wasn't listening, but I did hear the applause and sounded like a solid effort. Phone screener Brian, everybody, going with the 9-1.
Who's the lesbian now?
Yeah.
What about you? You don't rank yourself?
I don't rank myself. But if I did, I don't think. Mine was interesting with the changing of the legislation, but I don't know.
It might have been a winner. Brian's was strong. Yours might have been a winner. When you said he's eyeing your rear.
Yeah. He's currently eyeing your rear. Yes, I brought it into the present tense.
If I may critique, I think if you would have said he's currently eyeing Brusca's rear, that would have put you over the hump there.
I think it was very good.
I think Adam would have won if he was scoring.
Wow.
Honestly.
Wow, oh, nice. Put him in for Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Ask Kisser. Yeah. Wow.
Listen, I'd be the first one to say he was terrible, but his was the best. Let's be honest.
Well, I think it's not so much that I was good, but that we've all had an ass full of phone screener Brian over the last few weeks. He's really gotten full of himself lately.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. You know, people do that thing where they're like, there's nothing. They always feel bad for the guy who's underachieving, Here's the guy with the 141 IQ who's working in the mailroom. Here's the guy who graduated at the top of his class over at, Yale, but he's got a job, some clerical gig, and he's making 37 grand a year. People always feel sorry for that guy. What about the poor sons of bitches have to work next to that know-it-all?
Yeah.
The guy who's has twice the IQ of the guy to his right and the guy to his left, but is getting paid the same is forever bitter. Those are the people we should feel sorry for. And I'm not talking about you, Brian, but you know what I'm saying. We all know a few of these people. They're underachievers. They're intelligent. They're bright. They're scholastically inclined. They achieve wherever they go, but they're not exactly bringing home the bacon. The sand is slowly making it through the hourglass, and it doesn't look like they're going to make any more money. Again, Brian, not you.
You saying I should quit?
No,
not Brian.
You know, this isn't you.
You might want to take your own life.
Wow. You're the inspiration for this, Jag, but you're not propelling it.
Okay, good.
You just got me started
and
on
Brian, it. And Brian also, you know, has an axe to grind because he's 24 and has a bald head. He's completely bald. But not you, Brian. I'm not talking about you, Brian.
Not you, Brian.
But he was 16 with a bald head.
Point is people always think, well, you know, you feel sorry for this guy who's driving a cab who really could be a physician. Feel sorry for the guys in the back seat of the cab. Much better to have a stupid guy driving the cab. What you want in an employee and a coworker is for everyone to be just a little bit dumber than their job. Then they're forever grateful. A little bit dumber than a guy who drives a cab, he's happy to drive a cab. A little bit dumber than a guy who's working in a mailroom, then he's happy working in the mailroom, and hence, he's happy to be working next to you. You don't want the genius driving the cab, working in the mailroom, answering the phones. You see what I'm saying? There's trouble.
Yes.
And if there isn't now, there's going to be trouble. That's
but not
all I'm
Brian.
Saying. But no, I'm not talking about our Brian. Talking about another Brian answers the phones on another morning show on this channel. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. We have the statement from Al-Qaeda's number 3 terrorist from Yemen. Exclusive tape of that. Frank Vincent. Ozzy's got a review. Seth Green. Donald Trump. A lot of show coming up.
Give Adam a call at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Yes, you should. Frank Vincent. Phil Leotardo calling in. Ozzy's got a movie review. Seth Green. That's just in the upcoming hour. Then Trump. We got psychics. Dick Vitale.
Some show.
Lisa Tucker, last cast off for American Idol. First, we were talking last week about a gay Muslim group, yes?
Yeah.
And had some thoughts about some of these guys. I say a lot of these terrorists are probably struggling with their sexuality a little bit. I mean, it does not take a Dr. Freud to figure out when you cover the ladies up in a black sheet where no part of them can be exposed, and then you and your buddies go out to the caves of... I don't know, Iraq and bivouac for months at a time, mm-hmm. hanging out, sleeping on top of each other. It's all pretty gay stuff, if
yeah,
you think
and
about
yet,
it.
And I don't think aggression. They're not overtly gay. I mean, it's because they're...
No, it's deep.
Right. They hate... In fact, the Muslims apparently have a great distaste for homosexuality. Not surprising, but the extremists... Muslims think there's no place for the gays in this world.
Yeah.
So much so that there's a new documentary about gays and how shameful it is and how persecuted they are in the Muslim mm-hmm. world.
Well, it's also one of these things where, me thinks thou protest too
right.
much.
Yeah,
yes.
The lady doth protest too much.
She does protest too much. He does protest too much. Yes, and we spoke last week also about a study I knew of where they put a tumescence monitor. We're going to fit Dave for one as soon as we take it in. You put the tumescence monitor on men, guys that are formerly gay bashers. It's a thing that it measures the amount of blood that goes to your phallus, and they show them gay erotica. Evidently, they break into Bill's trunk. I don't know where else you get it. Be a good name for a porn store, Bill's Trunk.
Or Jerry's Blackberry.
Or Jerry's Blackberry. Another good name. Well, more a bar. Jerry's Blackberry, but good name for a gay bar. Bill's Trunk, be a good name. You enter through the back door, too.
Right.
That's the joke. The joke is please enter through the back door. They do that thing on they put that little sign on the door. Hey, guys, let me say this, too. If you have a business where you need to change the door we all enter from, the one that seems like clearly the front door, instead of me yank on it and bang it and have the bell swing around and have everyone look at me as the door bangs against the aluminum frame because you had a little piece of masking tape that said use other door, please, that was down along the bottom, go ahead and seal the door up. If that's not the goddamn door you want people to use, then seal it up. Don't do the thing where I do the kabang, and then I look up, and then I look through the glass, and everyone's looking at me at the diner or wherever we're at, the bookstore, whatever, and then I have to sheepishly walk with my tail between my legs 30 feet down the sidewalk and go to the door you've decided I should start using now. You just put a little piece of tape on this one. And cover it up. You don't want people to use it? Don't let them use it. The more you know. Please. With the kabang thing on. Okay. Don't get me started on push and pull, starting with the same two letters, by the way. That's another tragedy. That's an American tragedy. My point is, when they hook the tumescent monitors up to the guys that are gay bashers and show them gay erotica, they go off the charts. And isn't that how it works with everything? You know, the guy who's telling you that the world is out there trying to screw you, you better chain your stuff down, your neighbor will rip it off, people. This is the guy who's ripping crap off from work. This is the guy who's stealing his neighbor's junk. These are the people. Whenever they protest too much, they're doing it themselves. Mm-hmm. It's Psych 101. So we worry a little, or wonder at least, about some of the folks in that part of the world, especially some of these terrorists. And if you go and you just listen to, we know when you're watching, you see the guy with the beard and the AK-47, it sort of pollutes you a little bit. But when you just hear the audio and you just listen to the word selection and stuff, you realize these guys do come across as a little bit gay.
Well, I heard they just came out with a new video. I didn't actually see it, though.
Well, this is Al-Qaeda's number three man over in Yemen. And again, no video, just listen to the audio.
American infidels, we have captured three of your journalists. We demand the release of all prisoners from Guantanamo Bay. We will not settle for anything except full release. What is funny?
Think the cameraman's maybe not one of them.
We will take these hostages and we will put them in a hole. And Allah will think it is glorious. Yes. Allah will love American hostages in his glory hole. What is funny? What are you... Your mother is the whore of all goats. We will not go soft. We will remain hard. It is not we who will bend. You will bend over. The ball is not in your court. We are the ones who handle the balls. What the... Washme helmi nasir. Yelmi avashme hamule.
When he gets mad, I think he breaks into his tongue.
I guess I can see what I can hear what you're talking about.
You can see when you just hear the audio.
Yeah.
Do we have any more there, Mike?
I come to you today to praise fellow jihadist Zacharias Moussaoui being tried in the unjust courts of America. The deeds of Moussaoui served as a bald-headed spear plunged into the face of George Bush. What are you laughing? What is funny? I hate Bush. I cannot stand the sight of Bush. The only thing worse than Bush is old Bush. What's goddamn for you? Stop it! Shut up. Your vice president, Dick Cheney, is a powerful man. I learned that Cheney shot a man in the face. We who struggle in the jihad must respect any man who can shoot the full load of his weapon into another man's face. But Dick Cheney is still an infidel, and believe me, we know how to handle Dick. What the hell is for Halma Shifalme William Hoshmele?
Wow. It's a bit of an outburst there. All right, that's got to be it, right? There's a little more? Wow. More.
American infidels, your harbors are not secure. We will come to America through your back door. We will enter and violate all your ports with a full load of our helmeted warriors who will rain hot terror upon your yellow spine. What is funny? Stop laughing at it! We will steal the wealth of America and wear it proudly, like a pearl necklace. Shmuch mahalma shwale. On your head.
Wow.
Upon completion for their efforts in this fight, all Muslim warriors will have the light of Allah shine upon them like showers of gold. Watch mahalma shwale. Yel mahalma. Yel ashmahalma.
I don't know much about that language, but, I can tell you, it's the kind of thing where you may make it to 80, but I don't know if your voice box is going to make it much past 25.
But I guess there were some gay undertones if you really want to think of it that way.
I didn't hear them.
I don't. Maybe I'm naive, but I don't know what you mean.
Yeah,
like the pearl necklace thing or the load of terror.
Yeah, well, I didn't get that one either. But then again, I'm not up on the gay lingo. Yeah, I don't know rap, and I don't know the gay lingo. Those are two things I don't know.
And you can't judge dudes.
I don't judge dudes.
Like if they're good looking or not?
I don't even know what good looking means.
How can he? He's a heterosexual man.
I'm a straight guy.
Yeah. No, if a guy's really good, like, you know, Brad Pitt is good looking.
No, no. I don't know the difference between, let's say, Tom Selleck
and Brusca.
Yeah, or Brusca. Yeah. Well, lesbian, but
careful, sorry. Woman, careful.
Yeah, I would not. Lesbian. I wouldn't.
Woman,
I wouldn't know the difference. I really wouldn't, because I'm straight. I just like when we make fun of straight guys who claim they can't judge other guys, or who have to sort of soften it with a little precursor. You know, they go, "Look, you know, I ain't one of them, but I can tell, you know, anyone with two eyes, and I got, you know, two eyes, and again, straight as the day is long, but anyone could see that Brad Pitt's."
I'm not saying I want to do
it. I'm not saying I want to bend him over and do it, but, you know, I mean, I've heard the ladies say, I like the other guy too. He can't judge for himself. He has to hear what ladies talk about.
Yeah, it is weird. Like, if a guy fixes you up with their friend and you ask, well, is he good looking? You always get that. I don't know.
The best you'll do is he will pass along a report from other members of your species, you
yes.
know, of your sex. He'll be like, well, you know, the ladies don't have any complaints. I haven't.
My
I
wife
can't
thinks
judge
he's
myself.
Okay.
Right. Meanwhile, all guys do is judge. All they do is look at form and go, I don't like that car. It's ugly. I don't like that building. It's ugly. I don't like that chick. It's ugly. I don't like her sister. It's ugly. I don't like those uniforms. It's ugly. That's all we do is visually hone in on things and then judge. That's all we do. But yet, if it has testicles, impossible. Interesting. A dude got a gay buddy, says he's hot. I don't know myself.
I am a gay American.
I don't know the difference between Tom Selleck and Truman Capote. I don't. I just don't. I mean, I'm you know, I'm straight. I can't tell. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. Then Frank Vincent calling in from the best show on TV, The Sopranos. Ozzy's got himself a movie review. Also, we got the news. We got the sports. All that coming up.
Now go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Yeah, that's right. Frank Vincent from The Sopranos on The Blower. Talk to him. Also, news, sports. Ozzy, Seth Green. Talk about range. We got Seth Green and we got Frank Vincent on in the same hour. And then Donald Trump, psychic Shar Margolis, Dick Vitale, Lisa Tucker from tossed off The American Idol. Very rangy show. Frank?
Yes.
Good to speak to you.
How are you, Adam?
I'm well. How are you doing?
You got a rangy show, man.
I really do. I was watching you work last night and thought, what a beautiful head of hair you have.
Well, that comes from my mother's side. My grandfather was like 70 years old when he died. He had every gray hair in his head.
Yeah, and you got a beautiful, nice, silvery, salt and peppery thing going. And I was also marveling that thin strip of forehead you have. You don't have much forehead. You know, you have no, your hair's not receding at all. I commented to my wife, I have three times your forehead and I'm half your age. But it works on you. A lot of guys who got that no forehead thing going, it's a disaster.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't look too good. I don't know. I'm very fortunate. You know, I knock wood every day.
So you do it to your wife every day, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I see. Yeah. And your teeth are beautiful, too, I was noticing. Did you have them all redone or something?
Yeah, well, that's a little cosmetic, but, it, you know, it works, too. I mean, it's expensive, that stuff, I'll tell you the truth.
And he looks pretty much exactly like he did back in 1989 in Goodfellas, minus the mustache is the only difference. Same age. Never know the difference.
I'll be turning 50 April 15th.
You'll be turning 50. So when you did Goodfellas, you were in your mid-30s.
I was 11, I think. I don't know. I'm not sure.
11?
Yeah.
Wow. I also wanted to comment watching last night's Sopranos, by the way. You know, I was just watching. I mean, I've been a fan of Paulie Walnuts, or Tony Sirico, I guess is his name, for quite some time. But I was really watching him last night, and I turned to my wife and I said, this guy should be nominated for an Emmy.
Yeah, he worked good last. That's a good episode for him. You know, he found out his mother wasn't his mother. Oh, boy.
Yeah. And I just thought, hey, you know, the thing that's neat about a lot of the cast members from The Sopranos is you go, it's a crazy combination because there's some guys you see who you've seen on other shows, like, hey, isn't that guy from Wings? And then he turns out to be great. And then there are other guys you swear never acted a day in their life, and yet they're so convincing. You've never seen these guys other places.
Well, not too many people on the show have the film background that, like, the Melfi, Dr. Melfi, what's his
right.
name?
Right. Bracco. Right.
Bracco's made a lot of films.
Sure.
Jim has not even made a lot of films prior to Sopranos. Tony Sirico, a very dear friend of mine, we must have done five or six independent films together. Dominic Chinese, another one. Now, I don't know about Joe Ganascoli. I don't know about Vincent Curatola. I don't think they have much of a film.
It's probably better that way. And it's also always distracting when you see Ted McGinley show up somewhere and you're like, isn't that the guy from right. the old Happy, not the first Happy Days, but then the other one?
Right.
It's confusing and distracting. You guys, I think people just look at you as actual mob members who were pulled off the street and put in front of a camera.
Yeah, I think so also. But, you know, I've done a lot of films, so he wasn't going to hire me. He didn't hire me the first time around because I had Billy Batts at the time.
And right.
He thought I was too, recognizable in that character. So he had to wait until that sort of died down a little. Then he brought me in. But that's interesting.
Do you, and you say that Tony Pauly Walnuts had a good episode last night where he was basically the featured character in the
right.
episode. Obviously, you have your fingers crossed when the scripts show up, right? You want this one to be the Frank Vincent episode,
oh, yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah, you never know. You never know, you know, what's, you know, we don't know what's coming next week in terms of script when we're shooting, you know. I
right.
mean, I know the whole season was all done already, but when you're shooting, you get the script and you sit down, you read it with everybody and you find out what's going on. And this was Tony's tour de force right here.
Do you guys have, obviously there's some sort of confidentiality agreement that you guys have, but is it like the ones they have with Survivor, these other game shows, where if you got on a radio show like this and you started blabbing about it, it would cost you $1 million?
No, I don't think we could be fined. I think that we would probably just be probably be eliminated from the show, write you out, I think, because David's very, very emphatic. Every meeting we have a read-through. If he starts off the meeting with, confidentiality, because there's a lot of new people on each episode
right.
that you never see before, and sometimes they write the stuff out in the script that's not even going to be on because they don't want anybody to know about it.
Ah.
They didn't know, when Dre Mateo got shot,
right.
that wasn't in the script. Script read that she drove and she went to Atlantic City. She just drove away.
Oh, that's got to be a bummer for her.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, because you think you're moving on to the sixth season.
Oh, but she knew. But, the writers knew and the producers knew. But they wouldn't let the new talent on the show know.
Right.
Why? They were afraid of that.
Yeah, they got some schlub who's working for Scale.
Right.
He
right.
finds out the plot, a huge right. plot point. He gets right. Has a few pops and starts blabbing at one of his gay actor parties.
Absolutely.
Then you and Pauly Walnuts got to show up and straighten him out.
Straighten him out, that's all.
That would be a good surreal life imitating art thing. You get loaded, you start blabbing about the Sopranos. Next, you know, here comes Pauly, he's PO'd. He's got his pipe from last night.
Pipe, that's right. He'll go to the dock and straighten you out.
Yeah, nah, I can't get enough of the show. And it must be, every day for you must just be like a dream, like you're walking around in a dream
really
being part
is.
Of this show.
It really is. People stop you every day.
Right.
No matter where you go. But, you know, they do the other thing, too, go and get your shine box. That's pretty big. But this show is just incredibly wide, you know?
Yeah, and it's nice for a couple of reasons. A, you don't... You're on cable. You're on a pay channel, which is nice. You get a certain. It's like owning a nice restaurant. You get a certain clientele in there. It's not like you're on the WB.
That's right.
A bunch of homeless people trying to ram you with their shopping cart while you're walking down the street. You know, a bunch of guys with GEDs. You get people that at least have enough to afford HBO. And then secondly, no matter how intelligent you are as a viewer, you will give a guy a certain amount of respect based on the character that he plays.
Right.
If he plays a gay character, there's a part of you that may know the actor isn't gay, but there's a part of you that thinks you can kick his ass because he's gay on TV. You playing a connected mob, man, it just has to help just a little bit when you're trying to get a table.
Right.
When a guy's got a few pops and he thinks he can take you. Just that little psychological edge, right?
It's amazing. A woman came up to me yesterday and said, "Could I have your autograph?" I said, my husband wants your autograph again. I said, "Where is he?" He's over there. I said, "Come over here, man. You send your wife over here for an autograph? What kind of a man's man are you?"
Now go get your shine box, kid.
Right.
Do the mobsters ever come up to you? Do they ever come up and give you notes?
Everybody's a mobster. Everybody wants to be a mobster. Everybody thinks they're mobsters. So you never know who the mobsters are.
Right. Yeah, it's weird, but there's no, you know, it's not like there's a military uniform where you can see a guy's a four-star general. Everyone's a kingpin. And it turns out they're nothing, right?
Not too many guys want to come up here. You always send the ladies.
Huh. Yeah, it's got to be rough.
It looks like Johnny Sack, based on next week's previews, is out of the clink come next week. True?
None of your business.
Why don't you send your wife to ask him, you puss?
Yes, that's right. Send your girl over
here.
Go
home and get your f***ing shine box.
All right. I want to give... we got to get on with the news and sports. I want to give Frank Vincent a nice, juicy plug, though, because he's so kind to us. He comes on every Monday, gives us a little Sopranos update, gives us some juicy tidbits and insights like none of your goddamn business when we ask one question about the show. The Sopranos, I don't need to plug The Sopranos. Let's talk about Frank's DVD release. This Thing of Ours stars Frank. James Caan is in this.
Right.
Also Vincent Pastore.
Right.
Available now. It's a mob movie, right?
Right.
It was done a few years back, and now it's finally out.
It's a good little movie. Check it out. It brings the mob into the 21st century. It's cute.
This Thing of Ours, also The Guy's Guide to Being a Man's Man, is out as we speak. Yes?
Yes, sir. Doing well.
Thank you, Frank.
And go home and get your Shinebox t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, and coffee mugs as well.
FrankVincent.com. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Frank. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, he's a good guy.
It's a delight.
Don't insult them with those questions about the plot. All right, we're ready to do a little news, a little sports? Yes, yes, yes. Now, filling in for Rachel Perry, Teresa Strasser.
After 3 months in captivity, freed hostage Jill Carroll reunited with her family in Boston yesterday. In a statement, she disavowed previous comments that her insurgents were, quote, very smart and treated her well. She claims she was forced to film the propaganda video as a price for her freedom.
Yeah, but then she got out and said she was treated well and everyone was a good boy.
She's taking that back. Apparently she felt threatened and they didn't treat her well and they forced her to say all of those things to be free.
Well, it's too late. She already said they were treated well, and I already marked my balance and sent it in.
No backsies.
Yeah,
you know
I know.
What I mean?
No takies. Yeah, that's right.
You said they were nice. You treated you well. Okay.
Well, she's back in the States now, and they showed some pictures of her with her, you know, reuniting with the family and everything. And she was talking about the freedoms that she took for granted until, you know, how she's... It made me think, if I'd been held in captivity for 3 days, how would you spend... your first day of freedom. What would be the first thing you would do, Ace?
I would make sweet, sweet love to my TiVo.
Yes.
And then I would let my wife watch me make sweet love to my TiVo the following day. I would eventually start incorporating her into the lovemaking. Okay. Start with the TiVo, though.
Well, you got to ease in to the lovemaking with the TiVo and then ask the wife.
Yeah. How would you respond? What would you do with your first hours of freedom?
There'd be a lot of eating,
I
think. You know, involved. Because maybe the Iraqis don't feed you that well.
Yeah, I'm guessing not, yeah.
Internet porn.
Yeah.
And that would be
good.
That.
Interesting.
Good. Good.
In entertainment news, to follow up on last week's story that was reported here, the New York Post is saying that American Idol's Paula Abdul will be getting a massive raise. She'll be earning between $5 and $8 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you want to talk about gravy train. Listen, I'm a huge fan of Paula Abdul, dear, dear, dear friend. But first off, her career was over and done with 8-10 years ago before this. And people want to know why Paula Abdul, why no comeback after the number one records? How come Pauly Shore's having difficulty making another good comedy? How come when you talk to these people and then you start to feel sorry for them? No, they had no discernible talent to begin with. That's why there's no comeback. Why no comeback for a heavyweight fighter who once held the belt, he has no punch. He has no ability. He has no skills. That's why there's no comeback. It's not an arbitrary thing. I think people think that there's some guy who's the king of show business who sits up in some ivory tower and decides, well, Paula Abdul had her run in the late 80s, early 90s, but that'll be enough from her. No matter how blessed she is, no matter how talented. No, she has no discernible musical talent. If you listen to this, you can hear it. It's a fluke. It's not going to happen again.
You don't like Scat Cat?
I do love Scat Cat. I do.
Mean, that's something.
But this is how it works. If people want to know why, I don't know, whoever did My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Dallas.
Yeah. How come there's no My Big Fat Greek? How come she'll never have that success again? Not that funny. That's why. No, well, how did she have it the first time? I don't know how
lightning
that works.
Lightning in a bottle.
Lightning in a bottle. Thank you very much. That's right. So anyway, Paula Abdul, no discernible talent.
$5 to $8 million a year.
Languishing for years and taps into this thing. This thing takes off. Now they feel like she's an intricate part of the puzzle when, in fact, she's not. She could be replaced.
Can you imagine
how many
people who are sort of washed up but more talented than Paula Abdul do you think they went through, rejected this? I'm not going to participate in a karaoke show.
Debbie
I'm
Gibson
better than
said
that.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's
taking
the list.
Now.
I mean, it's got to be as long as your arm. And by the way, I have done some judging before, professionally, nothing bad. I think I did Star Search a couple years back. Nothing better. They pay you an S-load of money, and then they tell you, make it quick. And you go, really? They go, yeah, keep it about between 8 and 12 seconds.
That's what Brusca just told me.
Hurry
about
up.
My news.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
British tabloids are reporting that Angelina Jolie is going to write a book. Now, obviously, British tabloids aren't necessarily the most reliable, but they're saying she's going to write a book on being a mom. Mm. Yeah, so maybe something you could pick up for your wife.
Yeah.
You know, because Angelina might have some tips.
Yeah, she should write it in whatever the tongue is of the kids that she's adopted so they could figure out how to be a mom.
Right.
Yeah, the ones that crapped out all the kids and then threw them over at the orphanage and then her and Brad went and gobbled them up. Let them figure out stop writing how to be a mom in English. Until you guys start coming over here and adopting all our unwanted kids, just do it whatever language you got the kid from. Do it in Vietnamese. Do it in Cambodian. Do it in everything. Just don't do it in English anymore. We got the mom thing down. Thank you.
Thank you.
The more you know.
More you know. Justin Timberlake.
That's right.
Won something very important.
He's a great mother.
He's a beautiful mother. He won the burping contest at this weekend's Nickelodeon Kids Choice Awards.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear him taking on former champ Hugh Jackman?
I'd like to see that. Hear that. Nice.
Well, until the buzzer sounds, you can burp as much as you want.
Oh, I see.
There's another one.
I did see that. I thought him shotgunning the Heineken was inappropriate in front of the kids. Other than that, it was funny, yeah.
Now, this is a story that it really broke here.
Mm-hmm.
Last Thursday, Poison singer Bret Michaels was allegedly shot Thursday morning as he was leaving a radio show in L.A. Guess which one? The Adam Carolla Show.
Really?
According to reports, his window was shattered, but Bret was unhurt. Now, I did do an interview with Tad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he does here.
Neither do we.
And he had a different story. He claims that when Michaels left the studio, there was a dent in his Mercedes, but that the windshield was not shattered.
Uh-huh. And so that somebody had shot his vehicle?
In the parking lot right here.
Wow. Scary.
Yeah.
Tad did shoot his pants full of semen at the mere sight of Bret Michaels. He was so thrilled.
Big fan.
Yeah. Wow. I think that you can do the big math, but yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he is a big fan. Yes.
A North Carolina S&M dungeon was shut down when police got word of illegal scrotal surgeries.
Sure.
Owners of the dungeon were charged with 5 counts of castration without malice and performing medical acts without a license. According to the Washington Post, they could face up to 30 years in prison for castration without malice.
I remember once I was at a wedding with Dr. Drew and Jimmy Kimmel and a handful of other folks, and somehow I'd eaten half a pot brownie or something, What a shocker, with Kimmel around. And I'd convinced the table that I'd had scrotoplasty. And Dr. Drew backed me up. And then it turned ugly because Jimmy really believed that I'd actually had a scrotal lift or some cosmetic scrotal work done. And then it was one of those things where I was like, no, of course I wouldn't. What do you mean, a scrotoplasty? I wouldn't. And he was like, hey, man, if anyone was to do it, it would be you. You know when people give you that one and you think, what makes me at the top of the list of candidates to have scrotoplasty? Based on what? All the other plastic surgery I've had or my grotesque scrotum? Scrotoplasty. All right, but if anyone was going to have it, it would be you. I think Jimmy may have been drunk.
Well, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that was the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
It is one of the biggest days on the sports calendar. The end of college hoops and the start of baseball. It's the circle of life. Tonight, the NCAA hoops final. The Florida Gators going up against the most storied team in college basketball history, the UCLA Bruins. 6:21 in the p.m. out here in the West.
Are they the most in history, would
sure.
you say?
11 crowns, yes.
Yeah.
Unrivaled
who's second?
In that regard.
Duke or North Carolina or something?
Kentucky?
Who's Kentucky? Who's got... Somebody's got seven.
Don't
somebody's got
me.
Six.
You should know this stuff. It should be right here.
Come on, buddy.
We have an internet for... You know, I used to have a teacher, in fact, in middle school. When you would stump him on a question, he'd say...
Look it up.
Look it up.
Right.
Yeah.
All right,
well
look
done.
It up.
Look it up, Corolla.
All right.
All right. What a game it ought to be. Two mm-hmm. very different styles. The Florida Gators, who used their run brand of ball to bludgeon poor overmatched George Mason on Saturday, versus the defensive-minded boys of Coach Ben Howland, who strangled the life out of the high-flying LSU Tigers. It's very tough to make a call. I'm trying to get the right perspective on it. So I went on to this online this weekend, mm-hmm. and I decided to take a zoological approach with it.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd win in a fight between a Bruin and a Gator?
I was just thinking about that.
A Bruin, by the way, is just a colloquialism for a brown bear.
Yeah.
Grizzly
right.
and such. I didn't know this. I mean, yes. I knew it was a bear.
It's a zoological term.
Yes.
It's just a bear, right?
No.
I mean, you couldn't be a polar bear and be a Bruin.
No.
But
it's
any
a brown
other bear.
Brown bears. Grizzlies
right.
and things like this.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I learned. Their forearms end in massive paws tipped with extremely powerful claws.
Mm-hmm.
Possesses tremendous power. A large specimen can break a bison's spine with one blow.
Wow. So just perform oral on them,
yes.
and the bison spine is broken.
That's exactly right.
Is that what you say?
They're also known for great endurance, and when a bear stands on its hind legs, or reared, as they call
mm-hmm.
it can get up to 13 feet. Bill the gay board op is very aroused right now.
Wow, sure.
Alligators, meantime, their main prey, smaller animals.
Uh-huh.
They can kill larger prey by grabbing it and taking it down into the water and drowning it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done the math on it. The bears, they like the water, though. They go in and they get the fish.
Salmon, right? Yeah.
Right.
Therefore, I say Vegas says the Gators are giving 1.5. I mm-hmm. say take it, Bruins fans. Bet the Bruins to cover. Now, listen, you got to take my word for it. I went 12-0 against the spread in the NFL playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be remiss if I didn't pay homage to our own Ozzy, the movie reviewer. If you recall, 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
we had a blue ribbon panel put together mm-hmm. of prognosticators. And listen to what Ozzy predicted here. And Ozzy, finally.
Yucla and Nevada.
What? UCLA.
UCLA.
And why
those
do you pick UCLA? Why UCLA?
I live in California.
Hey, his reasons are his own, but he's got them all the way to this point.
Eucla.
Yes.
Ugh.
Meantime, the Dodgers get their season started today at 1:10, just mm-hmm. a matter of hours from now, at beautiful Chavez Ravine.
Yeah, hopefully it'll get rained out. I can't 162-game season. Really? 162 games?
Well, you got to start at 1. You know,
let's just start at 55, make everyone 500, and just have an abbreviated 9-month season this year. Please. It's enough.
So be it. So it has been said. So it shall be. Now, you've got the Giants at San Diego, the Snakes of Arizona and Colorado. Over in the American League, Seattle hosts the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, mm-hmm. of the Golden State, mm-hmm. California, who remind you to discover beautiful British Columbia and that Virginia is for lovers. Mm-hmm. Meantime, those jerks from New York, the Yankees, are in Oakland to play the A's. And here's a little thing I've been thinking about. We can all agree on one thing with baseball season. Let's dedicate ourselves, America, to one goal. Let's boo Barry Bonds everywhere he goes all season long.
Boo Barry Bonds?
This creep, I've had it with hearing about him. So put upon the media's out to get him. Why is that? Why do you think? Why didn't they go after Sammy Sosa or Mark McGwire? No, they just randomly chose your name out of a hat, Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
You creep.
I heard some guy calling in a sports show yesterday explaining how he was some civil rights whatever from some, you know, Howard University or something, that basically said he's black and that's the only reason
that's
everyone's
right.
going after him. I love when they play the race card and everyone's explaining, no, he's a colossal a-hole. Yeah, this is why corporate America has stayed away from him, because he's black. Well, what about Michael Jordan, corporate America? What about Tiger Woods? Right. Corporate America doesn't seem to shy away from those guys because they're black. Well, that's a different sport, whatever. The idea is everyone loves to play that card of he's this, he's that, he's black, he's whatever. If you're an a-hole, that trumps everything. And if you're a great guy, that trumps everything. That's how it goes. Everyone hates Roger Clemens. He's white. Everyone hates Barry Bonds. He's black. Everyone loves Michael Jordan. Everyone loves Tiger Woods. Everyone loves fill in the blank.
Yes.
Right?
Listen, no one targeted you randomly.
Hold on. Fill in the blank is a great Canadian hockey player from the 60s. A lot of
yes.
people know. Phil in LeBlanc.
Oh, yeah. He was
French-Canadian,
French-Canadian
right?
guy.
Got in a gambling problem with his wife.
He's seldom spoken of, but check the stats. Top 10, almost all categories. Phil
won a
LeBlanc.
Couple cups with yes. Montreal, yes.
I realize sometimes when I use him as an example, especially when it's not a sports example, people think I'm saying fill in the blank.
Right. Confusing.
Yeah, I'll do that when we're talking finances or whatever. I'll say fill in the blank. People think I'm talking about the cliche.
Yes. Listen, yes. Point is, Barry Bonds
no, my
is
point
a
is
lying,
Phil
cheating,
in LeBlanc.
Creep, and we all must boo him. How say you, Fish Tank? That's that.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right. We will take ourselves a little break. Ozzy has his Basic Instinct 2 review. Seth Green, also Dave Damashek in his number one sports, has an exclusive interview with hockey great Phil in LeBlanc.
He never gives interviews.
From his prison cell in Montreal. This is going to be hard-hitting stuff. He rarely grants one. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to the new Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Well, Oswaldo Castillo in studio. Ozzy, dear, 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 dear friend. We met 16 years ago when we were both swinging hammers together. Pop, pop, pop. I believe our first job was building a gym in Pasadena. Yes, Oswaldo?
Yes, I do. I remember.
All right. Since then, we've built many houses together. He was on my TLC show, of course, the one manning the barbecue. A dear friend, Oswaldo?
Yes?
What movie are you reviewing this week?
Basic Instincts.
Which one?
Oh, my.
Basic Instincts 2.
Basil Stinks too?
Yep.
Now when you say two, you mean as well, or you mean number two?
Number two.
Number two. All right. Basic Instinct 2.
Basic Instincts 2.
Okay, you ready? Here
yep.
we go.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
The movie that I saw was Basic Instincts 2.
Mm-hmm.
It stars Sharon Stone as Catherine Tramiel. David Morrissey as Dr. Michael Glass.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte Rampling as Dr. Milena Gardosa.
Ooh, I like that Gardosa.
It followed the movie to 1992, Basic Instincts.
Uh-huh. It's a follow-up to that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost the same. Basic Instincts 2 is based on the life to the one best-selling crime novelist, Catherine Tramiel.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, she is also the psychopath, murderer, and mysterious lady.
She's a what?
Psychopath.
Psychopath?
Psychopath, murderer.
Murderer.
And mysterious lady.
Lady of mystery. How mysterious can you be if we know you're a psychopathic murderer? I mean, don't we know? Isn't that all we need to know? I would argue. You don't have to answer that, Ozzy. Keep going.
She increased the intrigue in the mind to the criminal psychiatrist Michael Glass.
She's a criminal what? Intrigue in the mind of the criminal
psychiatrist. Michael Glass.
Okay.
Catherine enjoyed the sadomasochist sex.
What kind of sex?
Sadomasochist.
Ah, she likes some pain involved with the sex, yes.
She likes, you know, strangling the time, the strength, the end, you know, the sex, you know.
Yeah, sure.
The coito, you know, you got.
Wow.
Perfect pronunciation, by the way, on sadomasochist.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's exciting to watch that, yes, Ozzy?
Yep.
Okay, good man.
Catherine make Michael Glass do all the murder in the film. She increased the suspense with the trauma.
With the trauma?
The trauma, yeah.
What kind of trauma?
And the guy, you know, for making, you know, the kind. And he no make it, he no think, you know, at the time he do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the end, the film, you know, she coming for bringing, you know, the seller.
Mm-hmm.
And the all remember, you know, the all trauma in the movie.
Mm. That clears it up.
What?
I don't know. Let's keep moving.
My best part is when Dr. Michael has sex with Catherine Trammell.
Mm-hmm.
It's really wild, man.
It's wild, huh?
Wow.
The sadomasochistic sex, huh?
God.
It's exciting, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you know, I slay in the theater, man.
Sure.
My wife and my side, man, you know.
Sure.
At the end of the day, Basic is in things. Left the reviewer cold.
Oh, left you cold. Not a good movie. Yeah, I fear that, what the hell's in this movie? Yeah, oh yeah, Sharon Stone, that's right. I think her vagina may have jumped the shark. I really do. I think it may be too long. It may be, it's been what, 14 years? Too
She's
long.
48 now. Mm. Was she naked in the movie?
Yeah.
How was that?
You know, you see, you know, the chicharrones?
Mm-hmm.
You see the chicharrones?
The chicharrones, you know, fried.
Yeah.
Like a churro?
Before fry the chicharrones, you know, the skin?
Yeah.
It's almost...
Yeah, a little rough.
Yeah.
A little rough. Everyone's a critic. Yeah, I mean, here's the whole thing. You know, people, it's sort of like what I think about watching women's basketball or the Special Olympics or something. It's like, oh, just because people can do stuff doesn't mean we need to see it. Just because there's a woman who's over 45 that still looks relatively good in the nude, well, that's fine. But as long as we have 19-year-olds who are willing to get naked, we don't need these people.
Yeah, but once you're over 40 and stripped nude, this is in Hollywood the height of courage. You will hear her peers revel in her courageous move to take off her clothes.
Yeah, but like when Demi Moore was in her bikini in Charlie's Angels, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, she did look pretty amazing, but it's a lot of spray on tan and a boob job and a personal trainer and all that stuff too. I just think Sharon Stone is going nuts. I think her brain is being eaten by syphilis.
Well, the fans agreed with Ozzy's review because Basic Instinct 2 tanked. Tanked at the box office. It did about 3.2 million, tying for last place with that Larry the Cable Guy movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not a good outing.
Wow. But there's a part of me that wants to see it sort of like, I think I may enjoy it on a level that I enjoyed Showgirls.
Love
for instance.
Showgirls.
Like, it's so bad, so over the top, so campy, takes itself so seriously that it just may be compelling. It may, when it comes on cable, I will be watching. I can tell you that. But Ozzy, it left this reviewer cold.
Very cold.
Very cold.
Burr.
All right. We will take ourselves a little break. Seth Green is due in studio. He's out there. He's always a delight. Donald Trump. Psychic Shar Margolis is going to be in studio doing a little psychic reading for us and for you. Dick Vitale, Lisa Tucker, recent cast off from American Idol, still coming up on the show. And we'll talk to all of them in order of appearance. Seth Green starting after this.
Hi, this is Stewie Griffin. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Seth Green in studio. Good to see you, Seth.
Thanks, you, Adam.
Your dear friend, Seth Green. Robot Chicken, name of his show. He's one of the producers, director, writer. It's on 11:30 on Sunday nights on the Adult Swim. Adult Swim, talk about, I don't know what sort of broke their cherry, probably rerunning The Family Guy, which probably led to The Family Guy being picked up again,
kind
unless
of, yeah.
I'm screwing it up.
No,
but
you're close. I mean, Space Ghost was the thing that launched the Adult Swim, and then they had they bought Futurama, and that got good late-night programming, and got good ratings. And then they bought Family Guy, which did really great, and that got Fox to make a DVD. And then the DVD sold a bunch, which got us back on the air.
I remember, I remember doing Space Ghost, and I remember watching Space Ghost, which was really fun to do and really fun to watch, but I don't remember it being associated with the Adult Swim. I only remember the Adult Swim. To me, Adult Swim, or at least the title Adult Swim, is like 2 years old. Is it 5 years old?
Yeah.
No, I just didn't, wasn't on my radar.
Well, it just didn't really take hold. They didn't have like an actual block of programming and original shows. Space Ghost was like one of the only original shows. The rest of it was reruns.
Well, those days are over now. With Robot Chicken and Minora Team, our friend Adam De La Pena's show, which comes on after your show. You lead in 11:30 Sunday nights.
I think the Boondocks is on at 11.
I've been seeing, by the way, I don't watch black-oriented programming, but I have seen... It's just a choice. It's nothing racial. It's the way I was raised. You know, I'm set in my ways. Set in ways, by the way, besides a euphemism for racist. You know, when they do that thing. He's not racist. You know, he's set in his ways.
He doesn't know any differently.
He's set in his ways.
Where he comes from, driving over minorities is what they do.
Yeah, it's when they sort of explain where you're from, also the time you're from, and then that equals racist, but that set in ways is a nice euphemistic. It's sort of what robust is to fat. Set in ways is to racist, the same thing. Seth is here. Seth, I'm a big fan of. I enjoy not only your work in the animated shows, but, you know, when you go back, Italian Job, enjoyed the hell out of that film.
Oh,
that's one of those movies, too. It somehow doesn't make it into the great film category, but it's certainly enjoyable, and it's one of these things where wherever you pop, and here's all you need to know. If you're just sort of browsing through the cable and you land somewhere on the Italian Job, you'll stick with it.
Yeah.
You'll hang with it all the way through.
It's nice when it works out like that.
Yeah, I know. So
early in my
things.
Career, I was in a bunch of movies where people were like, you know what, if I found it on cable, chances are I just keep going.
Yeah, fling a little fecal matter at the set and move on.
I try really hard to only do things people want to watch these days.
We will take ourselves a break because we're running a little behind the times, but Seth is going to hang with us. Donald Trump. Do you know Donald Trump?
We're close friends, yeah.
Oh, really?
Never met him.
Really? Never met him? I think the only time I've ever met him is when I made fun of him on Howard Stern.
I loaned him a bunch of money one time.
Oh, really? So it's India.
Some startup cost or some crap like that.
He'll be on the phone with us. Seth's hanging with us. I think Seth might do a little more reading from Star Jones' book for us or something like that.
I'm looking forward to that.
That would be nice. Take a quick break. Be back with the Donald, the Seth, after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Donald Trump on the phone. The Donald. The Seth. Seth Green in studio. The DVD for season one of Robot Chicken is available this second. So go out and get that. We'll get Donald on the phone. Mr. Trump.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to speak to you.
Well, it's nice to speak to you.
I'm a big fan of the show.
Well, that's good. And I'm a big fan of your show, so we're even.
Wow. That can't be true.
We're even. I'm out there all the time, but we're even on that.
You guys are coming out. You know, each time I watch The Apprentice, and
right.
I should say that it's on at 10 o'clock tonight.
It's on at 10 o'clock, yes.
Not its usual 9 p.m.
Right.
airing time. Why 10 o'clock tonight?
Well, they have Deal or No Deal that they're making a longer version tonight, and it's been doing very well, and The Apprentice continues to do very well. It's amazing. It just continues to do great. And so what they want is those two shows tonight. So they're putting Deal or No Deal and The Apprentice on tonight for their whole deal.
Well, I must say, you know, we've spoke to Mark Burnett on this show before. I think the guy's a genius. I also love Survivor as well. And just about everything the guy's ever been associated or affiliated with. And to me, the musical scores, that's one of his strongest suits.
It is. He's an amazing guy, and he's really a visionary when you think of it. He's got a great sense of music too.
Yeah, I mean, the part where the people that didn't get fired come back to the suite And the big music sting at the very end as they come through the door and bum, bum, you know, just the crescendo there.
Right.
A tear comes to my eye every night.
It's been an amazing thing. And, you know, The Apprentice started out at number 10 when it first went on, season one. Mm-hmm. And then it went to the number one show on television, and it was just crazy.
Really?
And we had 41.5 million people watching the first finale. And it was just amazing, and it continues to be just terrific. So NBC likes us very much, let's put it that way.
And I watch every week. I'm always, I don't think I've ever, and you know, I'm not just kissing your ass because you're rich and powerful, but I don't think I've ever really disagreed, and I think that's the satisfying part about it, with any of your decisions in the boardroom, Mr. Trump.
Well, that's very nice. I mean, sometimes it's tough. You know, sometimes it's very easy because it's an obvious, somebody's obviously not there. And then sometimes it's really, really a tough decision where it's almost like, you know, splitting hairs. But generally speaking, I'll go back in history and I'll see how they did and everything else. And I always feel very comfortable with my decisions.
Yeah. I can always tell when you don't feel comfortable because you turn to whoever's to your right and say, that was the right thing to do, wasn't it? And they go, right. Sure was, boss. And then you feel better again.
I usually do that. That's called a lack of security, right?
Yeah. I wish I had one of those people to my right to agree with me instead of my wife who does the thing with the hand, not your best work.
Well, that happens too.
Yeah, not to the Donald though, right?
But we've had a lot of fun with The Apprentice, and you know, who would have thought this was going to happen? You know, there have been 15 copies of The Apprentice, and every one of them have failed.
Right.
And yet this thing just keeps going.
Well, including your own Martha Stewart.
Yes.
Do you two have peace now?
That one, sure we have peace. I mean, that one just didn't work out well. And I would have never thought it would have worked out so badly, but it just didn't work out in the rating sense. And maybe even from a critical standpoint, it didn't work out well. It wasn't right.
Speaking of being critical, we all heard what you had to say about her and her program. But it brings me to a bigger point, which is at a certain point, I'm trying to think of how to ask this with all due respect. In a certain way, you've become a character. I mean, Donald Trump is not only Donald Trump, the human being, but it's almost a TV caricature in a certain sense.
Right.
Where you're almost expected to speak your mind and say outlandish things and say whatever about whoever, whenever.
Right.
Is that sort of true?
Well, I think there is a truth to that. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes I'll say things and get away with them, and other people, if they ever said them, it would be like a disaster.
Right.
But I think people expect me to be very truthful. And a lot of that is not necessarily being politically correct. It's being truthful. And I'm able to say things, and people are able to understand it. And a lot of other people, if they said it, they'd have some problems.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of nice. I remember, not to turn it to myself, but I'll eventually do this with every interview. You know, the first season of The Man Show, people are like, what the hell do you guys think you're doing? You can't say that. You can't do that. But by season two or season three, we were The Man Show.
Well, that's
and that's what you get to do. At a certain point, you become Howard Stern, and you just get to say what Howard Stern says, and you become Donald Trump. You get to say whatever about whoever, and you're Donald
Howard
Trump.
Stern is a good example, actually, because he does things on his show that if anybody else did it, they'd be taken off radio. And, for instance, he'll do black impersonations, or he'll do Japan or Chinese impersonations, or he'll do something else. If anybody else ever did it, it would be a huge story. It would be a disaster. And he does them routinely, and nobody bothers. So
We do it all off the air, but we don't have the huevos to do it on the air. We make fun of all ethnicities off the air.
Yeah, but he becomes a little bit immune. It's very interesting.
Yeah, well, I would say you've have the same immunity about speaking your mind, as vicious as it may be, about relationships you have. It's nice, right?
That's very interesting. I have not thought of it, but I think you're probably correct.
Now, then the question is the persona of Donald Trump, the one society knows and the public knows, does that go home, and then do you have trouble? Do you say to Melania, these eggs suck, redo them, and throw the plate back at her?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, I have somebody that's very understanding. I have a great wife, and I have great children, and they're very, very understanding to what I am and what I do. And it just sort of works out. And, you know, as an example, I'm coming to Los Angeles next weekend, and I'm making a speech, which is going to be at the Learning Annex. I don't know if you've seen it or heard
about yes,
it.
Yes, we should. Well, you give that a plug.
Yeah,
right.
Well, no, it's not even as a plug. I mean, but we're going to have over 50,000 people there, and people are just, like, stunned. Why are so many people going? And for whatever reason, it seems to draw. Now, the Learning Annex is an amazing institution, but they, you know, they have me speak, and a lot of people show up. Mm-hmm. So on Sunday night. I'll be in Los Angeles, actually.
And the family understands. They don't mind you being away
well,
from
the
house as much as you are.
The family does understand, and they get it, and they understand it. And I love teaching, and I love teaching in a large audience like that. You know, we just got back from San Francisco, and we had 61,000 people at the Moscone Convention Center, and it was just great. It was a two-hour thing, and it was really amazing. And
what do you tell them? Like, what is, you know, obviously you're not just talking pure business. It's more life strategies,
right.
Keys to success,
right.
In and out of the office. What give us the top two things
well,
for
like
success?
Well, I like to tell them, I tell them a lot. I mean, we go through a lot of different things, but I tell them a lot. And I'm going to tell this person, I'm going to call him right back. Tell him I'll call him right back. I'm on a very important call. This is a very important
nice.
Person, but
that...
I will not interrupt my conversation.
Thank you.
What I tell them
nice
is...
Nice power move. There was no one on the other line.
Right.
I like that.
That's right. That might be a power move.
Donald, you know, let me give you a tip. Let me tell you a nice move. Not that you need me, but here's just a personal one. I do it on my cell phone. Whenever my cell phone rings and I pick it up, hello, I always say, hold on, let me get rid of somebody.
Right.
Now, meanwhile, there's no one on the other line.
Oh,
it just makes the person a call feel that special. Who's he getting rid of?
Well, in this case, there really was somebody, and it's actually a very important
right. No,
somebody,
that's what
but,
you say. That's perfect.
I am dealing with you right now,
thank
not
you.
Anybody else.
Thank you. So we're talking tips. Give us the number one, number two thing
well,
people need to know.
I talk to people about a lot of different things, a lot of different subjects, but more importantly than anything else, how to make money, how to get rich, how to enjoy your life. And also, how not to be an entrepreneur. There are a lot of people that want to be entrepreneurs that don't have a genetic makeup where they can. They worry too much. They take things too personally. As an example, I graduated from the Wharton School of Finance, and in my class was a really brilliant guy
mm-hmm.
who ended up working for a large accounting firm as an employee. And he's a great guy, and he does a great job, and he gets a salary. And recently he bought a house, a small house, not a big deal, and he's like a basket case. And I said to him, it's lucky, as smart as you are, it's lucky you never went into business for yourself. I mean, he is totally a basket case over this house.
Right. And he worries too much.
He worries. And in other words, he doesn't have the genetic makeup. And I tell people, you know, a lot of you should not be entrepreneurs. You shouldn't be in business for yourself. You should work and get a check. And that's a wonderful thing to do. That's most people. And that's a wonderful thing to do. So I actually talk them out of being an entrepreneur in many cases. But above all, I say you've got to love it. You can never give up. You've got to know your subject, but you've got to love what you do. If you don't love what you do, you'll never be good at it.
Right. That's why I'm a horrible host.
Well, you do love what you do.
I'm lukewarm on it.
I have no doubt about that.
Well, thank you, Donald. Donald, by the way, is going to be out here. Is it Saturday or Sunday?
It's going to be. I'll be there on Sunday. It's the Learning Annex. I'm going to mm-hmm. speak at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be heading out there sometime during the day on Sunday. And I look forward to it. It's a great institution, the Learning Annex.
Now, how does it? Do you fly your private plane out
yes.
here? Is that correct?
Yes.
And that's the only way you
otherwise,
go.
Otherwise, I'd go out on Saturday because I can't take a chance. You know.
Right.
So I fly out.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know the thing about the private planes, the thing about the private jets, which is nice. I've had the chance to do it a couple times. It's not so much the private plane; it's the part where you pull up and you actually drive your car into the plane.
Well, that's one of the great things.
Actually, your feet never touch the tarmac. You actually drive into the back of the plane, and
right.
then you're just whisked away. You don't have to do the airport security and to take the shoes off and all that business.
Well, they treat me very nicely, and I think they know that I'm not a terrorist, and, you know, they feel good about me in many respects. So,
right.
so probably in certain respects they don't feel good about me, but it is a certain advantage. But certainly an advantage when I can fly out and land, let's say, an hour before I make a speech and be at the speech right on time.
Right.
And make the speech and then leave. If you're using commercial, that doesn't work. What you do is you go a day early and
mm-hmm.
you sort of stay around.
Right.
Because, you know, you never know what's going to happen with commercial.
Also, is The Apprentice coming out to Los Angeles for the sixth season?
The Apprentice will be shooting in Los Angeles starting June 1st, and we're actually going to be in Los Angeles. So we've had five in New York, and they've been terrific, and they've done really well, as you obviously know.
Yes.
And yeah. now what happens is number six is going to be shot in Los Angeles.
Yeah, you know, my only beef with the show is the reward that is given to the group that wins. Well, first off, Gold Rush is a horrible name. You should yell at Gold Rush every time they come into that boardroom naming themselves Gold Rush. Yeah,
right.
It's a name of a roller coaster at a B-level amusement park, by the way. Right. But number two, sometimes they win the reward, which is last week. They got to go down to the vaults of Beers and pull themselves out $30,000 worth of diamonds, and then sometimes they have to go to the hospital and work with the retarded kids. And no one can complain, and Trump always goes, the greatest reward of all, giving back to the community. But I can tell the people are PO'd. They're like,
well, you're very, very, you're right about that. Yes. Actually, in one case, we gave suits and dress clothing to people that were pretty down and out.
Yeah, what a gig.
And, you know, they all said how they loved it and everything else, but I'm not sure. And then the following week, the team got diamonds from Graff Jewelers, right?
I know. Yeah. So you're on the team that wins, and you get to head down to Skid Row and give some bum a three-piece suit.
You're very funny.
Yeah,
actually.
That blows.
Sad, but funny.
How about this? How about, if you're shooting the show out here in L.A., why don't you get a new sidekick? His name's Adam Carolla.
Yeah, that's right.
He'll provide the street smarts, see?
That's right.
I'll tell you what, there are a lot of street smarts there, just by the last statement.
Thank you.
We've had a lot of fun with The Apprentice, and it has been great. And we have tried to become a little bit more socially conscious. We got a little tired of giving people diamonds and things, so now we say, you know, go to a hospital and this and that. And you're right, sometimes there's a gasp in the air, and sometimes people really like it.
Yeah, well, they have to pretend that because they see you're watching them, and they're, yes,
and
Mr. Trump, and no,
at a,
Mr.
At a
Trump.
Minimum, they have to pretend.
Right. All right. Well, we'll be watching tonight at 10 o'clock.
Well, thank you very much. It's a great show tonight, and I look forward to it, and I'll see you out there.
Thank you, Donald.
Okay.
Donald Trump, well, I just cut him off, but the great Donald Trump. Also, speaking of giving back to the community, listen to this one.
Smoking sucks the air right out of your lungs, and you're going to need them for the rest of your life. Don't smoke. It kills.
There you go.
That really sounded like it came from the heart, though.
Well, or at least the lung. I thought smoking was good for you until I saw that PSA. Then I
realized. And I also appreciated, I mean, personally, what I learned from Trump is the difference between when it's good to take a commercial flight and when I should take my private jet.
Yeah, once in a while, you got to fuel up the private G4 and head on out. And other times, you can just go ahead and go commercial.
You
want to get
before.
A day early, then you take the commercial. But if you got to get there that evening or that afternoon. That's right. Donald Trump, everybody.
In the meantime, look at this. Seth Green is
Seth Green.
To take the text messaging.
Yeah, sorry, Seth.
Sorry, I'm just placing some bets on the morning game.
No, I know. We got pushed around, and it was my fault. And, you know, Donald Trump's on hold, and what are you going to do? But Seth Green, robot chicken, everybody. Come on.
Yes.
11:30 Sunday nights on the Adult Swim Cartoon Network. Also, first season out on DVD. How many episodes is that, Seth?
On that DVD?
Yeah.
It's 20 episodes, and it is jam-friggin-packed.
Dynamite show.
Very so much funny. Extras. You honestly couldn't shake a stick at it.
You really?
You don't have a stick big enough to shake
it. Physically impossible to shake a piece of wood at that thing.
It can't be done. We tried.
So you actually went out to the force and got a stick and attempted to shake it at the DVD?
I got the biggest damn stick you could find. I gathered a team of professional stick shakers, and we all tried. It just wouldn't be done.
It just couldn't. Not
the content of the DVD shattered all the sticks instantly.
Wow! And that was in a clinical setting or in the forest?
It was in the forest.
Wow! Yeah. So you did it. You did it outdoors.
That's
it wasn't
the way
one of these simulated lab forces.
No, I wanted to see how it worked out in the real world.
Yeah,
I didn't want to try and create an effect that could be replicated.
That's
true.
A lot of guys who do the stick shaking at experiments just do it in the comfort and safety of their own lab. They don't go out into the real forest and do it.
I like the danger aspect of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's powerful. Okay. Do you see any Bruins while you're out there?
No.
We learned those were Bears earlier.
Oh, I was highly concentrated on the sticks in the DVD.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about the Trump man, but he was scheduled and, you know.
No, it's fascinating because I've actually thought a lot about being an entrepreneur, you know, starting maybe a TV show or acting in films or some restaurateur or something like that.
What would you call your animated series if you were, in fact, a producer of one?
I don't, maybe Trumpelstiltskin? I mean, what could you...
I like that.
I think, he did have a point, though, and I think of Big Tad and his brother who started up the T-shirt business. And some people have the entrepreneurial spirit, but not the entrepreneurial brain. Life is going to be frustrating for you folks. We do. We send this message to everybody in this country, which is, hey, man, it's a land of opportunity. You come out here, you make a life for yourself. You don't work for somebody. You don't do the bidding for the man. You do your own thing. Some people are much better off being employees than they are being the boss.
Yeah.
They don't have the horsepower to do it.
Some people are, you know, better in school than they are self-educating. It really depends on your discipline and the schedule you like to keep.
How much do you think he gets for that, Trump, though? He flies across the country and then speaks for probably, what, a half hour or something like that?
Yeah, maybe a little more.
What do you think he banks doing something like that?
50,000 people, $25 a head, maybe?
I've learned here he actually speaks for 35 minutes, but it feels like an hour. I don't know how they work in.
Does he get paid for how long it feels?
Well, that's what they should have. They should have that index, you know, like where they go with wind chill. They go, well, it's actually 9 degrees, but with the wind, it's the wind chill index is 4 below. You should have that for speakers. Some guys in the positive, others in the negative. He spoke for 30 minutes. It felt like the movie was an hour and 22 minutes. It felt like. You know what I mean? That's the index. How much is he getting paid, Breska?
He says in his ads, I'm $1 million, which I don't disagree with. I'm sure he does get paid $1 million. If you think about it, 50,000 people, $100 a head, I mean,
right.
You know, and then there's a lot of other stuff going on with the Learning Annex and, you know, different seminars, but he's the main headline, and he says in the ads, I'm making $1 million for this speech, you should come.
They wanted me to do one after his on how not to get paid $1 million to do a speech. I said that was insulting. I wasn't going to listen to that. Yeah, that's right. Seth's got to do a little Star Jones work. The other thing is, you know, no matter how rich you get, back me up, Seth Green, you're literally a millionaire as I am. There's that thing where everyone goes, does he really need the money? Does he really need the money? Does he really need the money? Well, how rich can you be that you can say you will not do a day's work for $250,000, for $1 million? You know, people do this with celebrities. Now, why is he doing that stupid commercial? Does he really need the money? Well, what if your phone rang and some guy on the other line said, look, you get $1.5 million. It's basically you're going to have to burn a Saturday. Do you ever have so much money that you can't do that?
You gotta pick and choose those, because some of those will actually prevent you from being able to earn again. You know what I mean? If you do something so damaging, then you can't make that same salary. It's the stuff that's... You gotta only do the stuff that won't affect you. It's like you do a commercial in Japan for $1 million and you get a free trip to Japan and nobody ever sees it. That's worthwhile. But you start, you know, shilling 1-800-COLLECT. You got an opportunity to kill your career.
He's talking about me. I also did a spot that only aired in Europe called AIDS Shotgun, which was a horrible device that, again, I was stupid enough to put my name on. And I wish I hadn't. But the point is I went for the easy money. I'm just saying, also for a guy like Trump, I think you can get a lot of people to do a lot of speaking because it's a stroke to your ego.
I think he enjoys speaking to people, and especially when you've got somebody who's established as successful an empire as this guy. A lot of people are very interested in hearing what he has to say. And for him, like you said, he enjoys teaching. You amass all this knowledge and this experience. You kind of want to just let people... It's like the evil mastermind at the end of the movie who's like, I know I'd rather blow up the world, but first I'll tell you how smart I am.
Yes.
This is exactly what I'm planning to do, and I'll give you the opportunity to you know, foil my plan.
Yeah.
I think
it was rarely black, by the way, but yes, I agree with what you're saying. In essence,
did that sound like a black guy?
It did a little bit.
What black guys do you know?
Well, actually,
masterminds.
I David Allen Greer is the only black guy.
He's
not really black, so they say, but I count him as one of my black friends. Yes.
Nice.
All right. Speaking of black, Star Jones had herself a little book that Seth Green was gracious enough to read out of last time he was in here. We thought we'd ask for a little encore to that.
I love that this is what you like.
Yes.
So this is apparently the story of Star Jones meeting her husband.
I looked up, and I was floored. This handsome man with skin the color of cooked butter. This man with the most beautiful lips I'd ever seen, a Clark Gable Caroline, and the deepest brown eyes on the planet softly continued what he'd started to say, which was, I saw you once at a party 5 years ago. I was too hesitant to approach you, but this time I'm braver. When I walked into that room the day I met Alice Gal Reynolds, I didn't walk in with the intention of meeting somebody. I walked in with my mind on feeling good about me. I was prepared. I started on getting ready. My relationship with the Lord was strong. Oh, my health was getting better and by the day. And my weight, I think I'm reading this off. And my weight loss program had been moving along for months when that tall, smart, wonderful man took my arm. I was emotionally, physically, and spiritually ready to accept him. And I deserved him. Oh. And you know what? I wasn't looking for him. He was looking for me.
Powerful words.
Wow. It really is. You know, you can tell
Seth Green. Well, a new record for Star, by the way, 33 syllables before she evoked the name of the Lord. That's a new personal best for her.
It's powerful.
Do you think the Lord minds being dragged into her love life with Al?
I don't think he has any complaints. I mean, look at all the people in sports.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Literally, the first thing they say is, I'd like to thank Jesus.
Yeah. We need to wrestle the Lord away from the black folk. Whitey needs to borrow him every once in a while, too. Can we use him?
I can't remember who it was, but there was one stand-up who said that nobody ever blamed Jesus when they screw up, you know?
Right.
Like, I was doing great till Jesus made me fumble.
Well, if he does control everything and he did help you win the last game and now you drop the touchdown, well, you just do the math. I agree.
That's just his will.
That's maybe why the Jews are smart. Seth, I want to thank you for coming in and being patient with us.
Thanks,
also
Adam. I had a Pop-Tart. It was nice.
That stirring rendition.
I love that reading. That was very good.
Robot Chicken, everybody. It's on Sunday nights, 11:30 on the Adult Swim. Also, DVD. The DVD is out, and it is virtually and scientifically impossible to shake a stick at this DMV. There's too many letters in today's language. Yeah, the DVD. You can't shake a stick at it. It's awesome.
Speaking at the Learning Annex.
20 episodes,
right,
everybody.
Right, about 7 people.
We will, he's going to be signing for
about
Donald
about
Trump.
About how to wrap your sneakers that have fallen apart in paper bags so that they're waterproof.
We will take ourselves a little break. Who's coming up? Shar Margolis is coming in. She's the renowned psychic from the Sci-Fi Channel. She'll be in here doing a reading of Moi and others. Seth, thank you again. And
Thanks,
we'll be
Adam.
Right back after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Shar Margolis is in studio, psychic at large. Name of her show, Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock on the Sci-Fi Channel. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm really happy to meet you.
You really are, huh?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because I've seen you many times on television, and it's just good to meet you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's the truth.
Well, that's nice. I think I have a theory about psychics, though. I think they come on sugary sweet sometime, and they get you. They get you. A lot of people, I guess you meet people, and they have a sort of built-up sort of, I'm not going to let this one get the best of me, or I will expose you. Do you have that? I mean, not the housewives that you meet, but I mean radio show hosts. You must run into these guys, and they're like, I'm going to expose this one. I'm going to beat her at her own game.
I think some of them probably think about that.
Mm-hmm. I start off with a nice compliment and makes us go, take it easy on the kid. She seems sweet.
No. I don't know. I guess some people do that. I haven't had that experience yet, but
if you want
to give me a hard time, then
I won't.
You can.
Well, I'll be, it's my job to be skeptical, but will you give people the bad news
if
you see something
bad? I do,
bad?
But I believe that we can prevent problems from happening.
Interesting.
And that's that everybody has this gift of intuition and that we're all guided and that you can be more intuitive for yourself than I can ever be because you're living your life and the future can change at any moment because of one person's choice or decision. So it's up to you to know if you should, you know, listen to that gut feeling and, you know, what decision to make because it's your life.
But you hear that little voice every time you do something, every
right.
time you go to the airport, you hear that little voice go, oh, something may happen with the plane. You hear it every time, but you
fear.
Still get on the plane.
But that's your fear.
Right.
You know, there were people on Flight 93, for some reason, did not go on those airplanes, that or did not go on that airplane.
And because of a feeling they had.
Well, I think I'm not sure the exact stories, but some had a feeling and some were just detoured. They just couldn't make it to the airport. But one guy just woke up late and said, I'm not going to rush.
Out of Boston, you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing into one of the towers, the Seth MacFarlane from the Family Guy, we have the Seth Green Family Guy connection here. We talked to him on the show. He's the producer and does mm-hmm. all the voices or three quarters of the voices on the Family Guy. He was on that flight, or he was going to be on that flight, and it wasn't one of those things where he was going to be on that flight, and then a week earlier his assistant canceled it. He was trying to get to that flight that morning at Logan Airport. I mean, it didn't get canceled the day before. That day, that flight, that morning, he was hustling to the airport, went to the airport, missed the flight.
But, Char, your contention is that the fates intervened and kept him from the airplane.
I believe that we're all guided when we listen to our gut, and then sometimes there's like this, you know, universal or divine intervention that just keeps us safe.
Well, maybe fans of the Family Guy who wanted him to go on for another season after his success on Adult Swim. All right. Well, now what about this? Let me ask you how you feel as a psychic about this. I'm sure you hate all other psychics.
No. That's not true. No.
James von Prague.
No, I'm friendly with James. I'm friendly with John. Yeah, you know what? They're doing, we're all different, and they're trying to get a message out.
You're better, though, right? A little bit.
I don't know
You didn't say better, but that's
no.
what's...
Yeah,
look, I'm psychic. I read it.
No.
I read your pupils.
No, I don't know that I'm better. I think that they may be better at other things than I am. I mean, we all have our strengths.
Let me ask you this, as far as psychic etiquette goes. I was hanging out with James von Prague. He was on the old show I used to do on Loveline. It was about 5-6 months ago. And I was, you know, taking my jabs at him, being a skeptic on the air. I don't think he was a fan of that. And then off the air, he digs into me with, like, some very scary and alarming news about gangbangers watching me and people in the bushes.
Really?
And I think he was basically effing with me. Now, he went ahead and described my house and described the terrain and described everything down to the T, and then explained about the evil guys hiding in the bushes that were waiting to pounce on me.
Yeah.
Of course, it's 12 midnight because the show was in the middle of the night. My wife's home alone, and I didn't even drive up the driveway. I actually did a shoulder roll in my car, though. That was the thing that made it tricky. I dove over the fence. I had the flashlight. It was like a scene out of a movie. It was the middle of the night. There was no moon. It was 12:30 at night. It was dark. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. I was up there with the flashlight, climbing the fence, putting it into the neighbor's yard, looking for traces of the gangbangers that had been stalking me. What kind of charlatan criminal would do that? And isn't there some sort of Geneva Convention with psychics where you can't do that to people?
Well, you know what? I can only be responsible for what I say and what I do. Because, you know, years ago they wanted me to do those 900 lines, and I could have really made millions of dollars.
Yes.
But it was unethical, and I'm not going to have somebody else say, oh, this
is... Why is that unethical?
Because I don't know these other people. I don't know what they're doing, and a lot of those people on those 900 lines had a script that they read.
Ah.
They weren't real. I've really dedicated my life for the last 30 years into helping people understand about their own intuition and that love never dies and that there's a spirit world. And so I can't be responsible what, you know, anybody else says but me.
Char, use your intuition right now to tell me UCLA +1.5 tonight.
Yeah, how do you feel about
I'm
that?
I'm so bad with that stuff. Don't even go there with
me. How could you be bad with it? You should be a billionaire with this sort of thing.
Yeah,
well,
but
you could make a fortune with this skill.
That's not what this is about. You know, this is something more important. This is about helping people understand about how their spirituality, helping people understand about making choices in life so that we build good karma. You know, this is more about understanding that if we have unfinished business with somebody who's living, that, you know, try to fix it.
Well,
how about one before 10
they seconds.
Die?
Oh,
before
Florida,
they
UCLA.
Die.
Huh?
Yeah, so you do it before they die.
Yeah, you do it before you die. So, you know, you don't need someone like me to say, oh, yeah, your father says, you know, he's really sorry that, you know, you argued and there was a misunderstanding or whatever it is. Sometimes I help people bring closure to that. But, you know, my work is more healing. And if I could do the games, I would do it. I'm terrible in Las Vegas. I'm just not a good gambler.
Well, Larissa, speaking of people stuff, and you're going to do a reading on me, I believe. But our intern, our hot intern, Larissa, whose father turns out to be a tax attorney for the porn industry, which she prepares taxes for Peter North and the like. Mother passed away tragically just how long ago?
Oh, am I allowed to say that? Is that
Oh, interesting.
Well, I don't.
Ooh, that's
well,
good.
The less
recently.
You know what? The
recently.
Less I know, the better I am. Just say yes or no, but be open-minded, honey, about everyone close to you, both living and deceased.
Okay.
Is there somebody around you, and it could be your grandparents?
Can we do this? We got to take a break. Can we do this after the break?
Yeah,
is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to do
Adam, and then UCLA or Florida. We got to get these answers.
Yes.
Oh, God.
So Larissa again being very brave because I won't say when. Actually, I didn't even know it until Dave slipped me a note when I was asking her about her mother, saying her mother had passed on.
Yeah. Well, don't say her name or anything like that. The less I know,
I barely know Larissa's name.
Okay.
Yeah. So don't worry.
Thanks.
All right, Larissa again being a very good sport and very brave because her mother did pass away recently. So it's a difficult topic for her, but we'll see if we can shed some light on that, possibly communicate with her, also reading for myself, and then again, a pick for tonight's big UCLA.
No, we're not doing the UCLA thing.
All right. We will take a quick break. We're here with Char Margolis, and we'll be right back after this.
This is Howie Mandel. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Char Margolis is here from the Psychic at Large program on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Thank you.
Three episodes this Wednesday. She's going to do a reading on me. She's going to do a reading on Larissa, our intern who lost her mother tragically recently, although we won't say exactly when. We don't want to give away too much.
Okay. Yeah, Larissa, just say yes or no to me, honey, okay? First of all, is there somebody close to you that's a J or G?
Do you know any Jews?
No. Any Jews?
Just
any
say
family?
Jew, please.
Anybody, friends, or anyone close to you, living or deceased? Did you know your grandparents?
I didn't know them, but I'm thinking of their names, and I can't think of a J or a G.
Okay, and there's no one living close to you like that?
No.
Okay, the other thing I was getting, is there an E or L? An E? Is there an E deceased?
Yes.
Is it a female?
Yes.
In her name, is there an L in it? Don't say the name.
Yes.
Is it E-L?
Yes.
With an N in it?
No.
Or it starts E-L?
Yes.
Is it Elizabeth or
yes.
Elizabeth? Is this your mother?
Yes.
Who?
Her spirit's with you.
Who? Now, wait a minute. You got her mother's name.
Come on. Let me. Let me get.
Adam, please.
You're taking me out of my place,
I'm
Adam.
I'm just with applause.
Thank you.
What I'm saying, though. If you're a great performer.
I just want to.
People are going to applaud every once in a while.
Thank you.
You can't plow ahead with
thank
your comedy routine.
No, this isn't comedy. This
okay.
is serious. This
yeah,
is
I'm ready.
This is a metaphor.
This is her mummy. This is serious.
Okay.
All right. When you buried her,
mm-hmm.
did you write something to her, or did you say something at her memorial? Did
yes.
you get up and speak?
Yes.
Okay. Because she's saying that you wrote something to her or you spoke something to her and she's thanking you for it. And she's, did you make some kind of a comment about her watching over you or that you'll see her again or maybe she'll give you a sign?
Yes.
Okay, because she says that. My feeling is that she is very, she's letting you know that she's going to come to you like in a dream. Many spirits do this because it's the only way we can, when we're not so busy and when we wake up and it's so real and it's that loved one, mm-hmm. that's when my mom comes to me. Have you had this yet?
No.
Okay, it's probably because you want it too much, but mm-hmm. She's saying that. Also, what
happened?
Wait a
minute. Why does she want it too much? What's that got to do with it?
She wants, because if you, a watch pot never boils, it's when you least expect it that mm-hmm. the spirit will come in.
Yeah, but eventually it does boil, you know.
Yeah. What happened? Did you have a,
I've tried
was there a problem with a car? Was there a problem with a car?
Recently? Or
your car, or her car, or something that happened around the time she died?
Hmm.
Or going to the funeral or something, was there, did someone get in an accident or somebody got hit or some problem with a car?
Not that I can think of right now.
Okay.
Let me say this, though.
It's possible. I had my car, but that was months ago before that happened.
Did you get in an accident?
Yeah.
Did you get a new car? Or
I have her car.
I was going to say, okay, she likes that you have her car. Because she didn't trust your old car. Thank you. Now, who's the A initial? Is that someone living, an A?
Living.
Is that a female?
Male.
Is that your dad?
Yes.
Is he spelled A-L or
yes.
A-L, like Alan or
yes.
Alan? Okay. Your mom is still watches. She's watching over your whole family, but she wants him to move on. She wants him to be open to dating and romance, but not too soon.
Okay.
Because she says he's very vulnerable and he's a sucker, and somebody could like just you know win him over very easily. And is he in therapy or is he in bereavement therapy? Mm-hmm. He needs to be. You both need to be.
Okay.
Because she was a huge influence in your family. Mm-hmm. They're also showing me an R or B initial. Who is that? Is there someone family that's an R or B?
Uh-huh.
Which letter?
Both.
Is there one deceased?
Yeah.
A male?
Female.
A female R or B?
Her mom.
Does it start with R? Don't say the name. Is it R-O or R with a T in the name?
No.
But it starts with R.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a T in that name.
Robot Chicken.
In the last name.
Okay, no. In the last name. Is it spelled?
Trying to get a plug in.
R DVD just or R E?
R E.
Like Rebecca or Renee?
Rini.
What
the hell?
That's who met her in heaven, honey.
Oh, really?
Your mom's with her mom. And one day when it's your time to pass over.
I'm not a part of that.
When it's your day to pass over, your mom and your grandma will be there for you.
Oh.
I promise.
Yay. Cluster F in heaven.
Okay.
Hey, that's got to be rough.
I'm totally ignoring what you just said.
I'm
so sorry.
Listen,
I didn't hear a
Dave,
word you just said.
Can you imagine going up to heaven and hanging with your mom and grandma for eternity?
Oh, good.
David, are you masturbating behind that cloud? Ma, give me some space.
When are you going to do something with your afterlife?
Let's go play the harp, you old bat.
So she sees us.
She watches over you like a guardian angel.
Good.
But she still has work to do getting settled in the spirit world. We have to get used to it when we're over there. We have to get used to using our energy and living with an ethereal body rather than, you know, with our spirit body without our physical body. But she's proud of you. She's going to be with you when you really, really need her.
Good.
She'll
she's
be there.
Happy.
She's learning to be peaceful.
She's dead. Give her a break. She's not enlightened.
She didn't want to leave her children. She did not want to leave her children. That was the hardest thing in the world for her. So it's taking time for her to really be totally peaceful. But when she knows you guys are okay and peaceful, it'll help her. And she's just saying she's sorry she's not here to help you pick the right guy.
Shark,
that's the problem.
Or ladies, we've learned in recent discussions.
Is it ladies?
Well, no. Either one, whatever.
That's Adam's theory on it.
Yeah, if it moves, it's on. Let me, Shark, I'll give you $20 if you tell her that her mom said that she should act out sexually in order to deal with the pain. That's her way. I just got this for mom.
Only if we can get it on camera for my show.
Mom says, take your top off. Hey, man. I'm just a conduit. I don't make.
It's one of the stages of grief, the three-way.
That's right. That's right.
Is that the new one that they've just added?
They added that. Okay. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross threw that one in for me.
Well, that was impressive, considering you knew nothing of Larissa before you came in. Char did not have a heads up on Larissa
no,
thing?
Nothing. I'm quite impressed. I mean, what's your take? I mean, you were very skeptical going in.
I am, and I was, and I understand how some of this stuff works, where you start throwing out letters and stuff like that, but it's very impressive.
Yeah, but yes. I didn't go through the whole alphabet. I just
I don't buy it, though, because you said, is there a J or a G? You said to her in the name.
Oh.
And then you said, no,
okay,
so then your default then was
okay, three
was
letters
an
in.
E or an
yeah,
L.
But here
probably
we
go. So many
okay,
names.
But that's okay. You know what? All you care about is making money and gambling. I'm not listening to you.
But when you said
but truthfully, there's somebody around that's a J or G that she was telling me about. I don't know who it is. There is, isn't it?
Ooh.
Well, no one close.
Oh,
hold on. Is it your aunt?
I
know who it is.
JG.
Wait. Does his first name start with a J?
Yeah, and his last name a G.
Wait a second. Is it spelled J E or J A? Or Josh? I don't know. Joe or John? I don't know the name.
No, but
J.
How about Jesse Jane, the porn star you made out with?
Wait, his initials are JG?
Yeah, but then
Wait. I don't know his name, but I'm thinking that she wants you to know. I think she thinks you should stay. Okay, I'm going to get a lot of phone calls from this one. I'm not. If you're bi-curious and they're serious about this, you know, you can go and search this out. But I have a feeling you're going to be happier in a heterosexual lifestyle.
I am.
Yeah.
And I mean, but, you know,
people
are bi-curious. And if that's what Adam's talking about, fine. But don't.
Look what you've
started. Listen, don't judge every That's guy right. because of the way JG was, because he wasn't the right one.
Josh Groban. Guy's a total jerk.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay. That's it. That's what she's trying to... And it's interesting, because I said she's concerned about the men you choose.
Mm-hmm. Jeff
And
Galooly.
You forgot about the JG person. Okay.
Jerry
there
Garcia.
We go. Okay. Okay, you naysayers.
No, right. Listen. Go to the cynic number one, Corolla. Yes. See what he has.
Oh.
See what
oh
you can tap
God.
Into
God,
with
look
him.
How defensive. Don't be so defensive.
Yeah. I'm not defensive. No, I'm waiting for UCLA, Florida.
Look at his aura. Look
wow.
at his brown aura.
I know.
Can
oh,
you
my
see his
God.
Brown aura?
Shar, who hurt him?
Yeah, somebody must have heard
who
you.
Hurt him.
Go to Corolla.
Somebody disappointed
tap
you.
Tap into Corolla's future and
see,
his
he
past.
Doesn't want yes. me to go to him, so he's going, right. tap can into
we,
Corolla.
Can we go to
Leave
break?
Leave me alone. Right. Leave yes. me alone. Don't talk to me.
Let's
must,
go to break.
We must go to break, but I'll let you focus on my aura during the break.
Thank you. Is that a euphemism?
Yes, it means I'm breaking wind. I'll leave my aura behind as I go to the bathroom. Shar Margolis is here from the Sci-Fi Channel, Psychic at Large, name of her show. We'll take a break. Very impressive with
thank
young
you.
Larissa.
Thank you.
Larissa, you're a trooper.
I want to give
you.
Larissa a hug.
Oh, yay.
Please do that. Make sure we get the camera on this in case something goes down. We'll take a quick break.
Bisexual
we'll be right back with my
glasses.
Reading after this.
It's Dave Sheridan from Free Ride on Fox, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Smart. He got the Fox in there. Nice little plug for himself. Dear friend, Dave Sheridan. New dear friend, Shar Margolis in studio.
Thank you.
Psychic at large.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you're sweet,
please,
baby doll.
Please, sit down. No standing ovation. Thank you.
Wednesday nights, 10
please,
o'clock.
Please, sit.
On the Sci-Fi Channel. I've had psychic readings before, I'll uh-huh. warn you. And most of them do, well, I also find that a lot of them just sort of play to your ego a little bit, and they'll do
well,
things that are sort of no duh. I don't mean people like you.
Or maybe to your fears.
Yeah, fears and egos. So they do stuff yeah. like this. Here's the two, like, for instance, psychic moves they'll do. They'll go, you work right now. You have a job. You have a job. Yeah, but you know what? It's not fulfilling creatively to you. You feel like you could be doing more creatively. Of course, every person mm-hmm. other than, you know, Salvador Dali, who has a job, feels like they could be doing a more creative job. And it's like, and then they'll do that thing. It's like, you love chocolate, but sometimes you eat a little too much and then you beat yourself up, don't you? Yeah. And when people find out, like, there'll be people, I've had psychic readings where people sort of do the math and they'll say, well, radio, that's not all you do. You write scripts too, don't you? And then I bet you go around and you try to whatever, but I don't. I'm the world's laziest comedian, so that never happens. But they do a kind of a math. Like, if right. I was a psychic and you told me you're a fireman, I'd say, but you're also handy around the house. You do a little carpentry as well, because 90% of firemen do carpentry uh-huh. when they're not at the firehouse the day and a half a year they work.
Well, you take a works. Lot of time trying to figure this all out.
That's right. It's the math.
I just like, you know, empty my head and try hope and pray that the dead people come in and talk to me.
Well, you've been touched. The difference between you and I is you've been touched by God and I've been touched by God inappropriately. That's what I'm saying. You've been touched by the hand of God. I've been touched
I
by
don't
God.
Know about it. Well,
I'll say
I'm
this.
I'm not going to touch that one.
Shar does not come off like a charlatan, though. You mm-hmm. know, she seems to
thank
really
you.
Buy her own particular brand of applesauce.
Well, you know why? Because yes. it's not about me.
That's
my
right.
work is, I'm an example of what everybody else can do. And truthfully, if you don't listen to your gut feeling, your intuition, it can mean a matter of life and death. I can tell you several stories of people, logically, everything on paper looked like something should be done, but someone had a gut feeling not to do it,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't listen. There's one woman, one of my clients, just moved into a new neighborhood. Her 4-year-old or 5-year-old little boy wanted to go outside and play, and so she said, okay, I'll watch you outside. Some new kids came over and said, oh, can we play with him? And, oh, they were so excited. There's kids in the neighborhood. She had a gut feeling not to let him go, but she's a nurse, and she had to call a couple of her patients. Anyway, she calls her patients, and the kids are outside playing, and she had a feeling not to let him go, and long story short, the little boy ended up drowning in a pond in the neighborhood. I mean, people get these gut feelings
yes.
all the time,
but
and that's what I want everyone to listen to. It doesn't matter if you believe in me. It matters if you believe in yourself.
All right.
And that's the truth.
powerful. Well, the more you know.
Every mother, though, worries when their child leaves their
eyes. She had a gut feeling.
It's like what Adam was saying. There's deductive reasoning based on the facts and information.
But,
it's unsafe to play outside.
But when you combine logic, common sense, and intuition, we get our best answers. And I'm just trying to open people up to this other way of helping make choices in life.
All right. Well, give me a nice
okay, just
a nice
say yes. Well, I don't know if it'll be... I hope it'll be nice. Well,
whatever you like.
Okay, is there an A or M person around your family? Mm. Did you have a grandmother, grandfather, A or M, or anyone living that's an A or M?
I don't... Yes.
Did you know your grandparents?
No, yes. I knew the ones on... Well, my family screwed up.
Well, you said your father's an A-hole.
Oh, please.
No, but seriously, is there anyone else that's an A or an M?
No, not
living
that I'm aware
or deceased.
Of.
You didn't know all your grandparents, though.
No. That's... Well, I knew my one on my mom's, the one on my dad's side. I think my mom's.
Will you find
her
out?
Name is Louise.
Okay, don't say names.
All right. Well, what do you want me to do?
Okay, don't say names. Just say yes or no. Okay.
Well, no with the A and the M.
And what about on your wife's side? Did you know her family or?
I try to avoid them. Why? A or M?
Think about it.
Let me see what it is. No, I don't know.
Did you know her grandparents, her parents?
No. Oh, her parents. Yeah, I know them.
There's not an A or an M or?
No.
What about her grandparents?
Don't know them.
Call her up.
Really?
Yeah, call her up.
Find out if there's an A or an M in there?
Yep. Call her up.
I'll try to do that.
Get her on the phone.
That could take a while.
Okay, meanwhile, I'm going to try to go to, because there's a spirit in here that starts with an A or an M. I don't know if it's your grandmother or her family or what. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hold on a second. Okay. Brusk, I think you got to call her on her cell phone if you want to get hold of her. I think she's going to the doctor's or something like that.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, let me see where else I can get. Okay, is there anyone who's a C or an S?
Well, there are a lot of one could argue there. I can't say the whole word, but yes.
What
yes,
starts with a C or an S?
Oh, I see. I thought that was nice radio talk. Yes, there's. Let's see. Well, no.
Anyone? No one that starts with a C.
Well, we got the last name Corolla.
Okay.
To give you that.
But there's nobody else that's a C or an S in your family.
No. No.
Anyone living or deceased?
No, but I don't know that many deceased people in my family.
Okay, but you didn't know their names either.
Very small group.
Is there anyone from Italy or
yes
in your family? Because yes. I'm getting somebody around here that's like Italian or Italy. One more thing, let me ask you this. Oh man, I just think that you don't know everybody, and that's why I'm having a hard time.
Well, that's true. We're pretty limited.
Okay, one more thing.
It was a need to know basis.
One more thing. Is there I mix up J and G sounds. Is there a J?
Yes, there's a J.
Is there someone deceased?
No.
Or living?
Well, it's hard to tell. It's my dad.
Don't say the name. Is it spelled J O? Is it J O?
No.
Or J? It starts with J though.
Yes.
Is there an M in his name or an A?
Yes.
Is it J-A?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But you don't talk to him? Is that what the deal is?
No, we speak.
Okay. Hey,
but he doesn't have much of a pulse, you know what I mean? He's sort of, you know that, you know, look, if there was a sort of...
Okay, you're making fun of him.
No. The undead.
What I'm saying is there's a purgatory. He's in it. It's on the planet, but he lives there.
Straddling between life and death.
Is there?
Yes.
But seriously, is there health concerns with your dad?
No.
Okay, I think there's something here that needs to be watched. I don't know what this is.
Mm-mm.
That has to be,
Uh-oh. Dad's having health problems?
I think, unless there's somebody, there's nobody deceased that's a James or a Jay, huh?
You know what?
Was your grandfather?
I think his grandfather was a James.
Because there's somebody deceased around you that's a James as well. Mm-hmm. All I know is that there's something with your dad with either blood pressure or...
Mm-hmm.
Blood, I don't know.
Something
just watch
in his
it.
Blood.
Yeah, just
right.
watch
I'll
it.
Watch
whatever
his blood.
It is.
How am I supposed to do that, by the way? Just go ahead and
he's
have him send
he's
got to
have
it.
A doctor keep an eye on
it. Oh, he should do
okay.
it. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Hold on. My wife's on the phone. Let me see if we can get to the bottom of this. Lynette?
Hi.
What's happening?
Hi.
Hi.
You
How are
car?
You?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. Thanks. How are you?
Good,
thank you. I was just reading for Adam, and do you know the names of your grandparents, parents, yes. people deceased and living?
Yeah, I have a grandfather named Albert.
A-L. You shouldn't say names.
Don't say the names.
Don't but say names.
I learned nothing else.
Okay, I thought it was that. Okay. have you guys had some problems with water around your home or something with pipes or water or...
They have a swimming pool.
What is the problem with water?
I had to make water in the middle of the evening last night.
That was good. Yes. That was good.
There has been problems in years past with the torrential rains we had last
some
year.
Other, there's going to be some other thing that you have to watch around the house. Do you have insurance with this?
Water insurance? Flood insurance?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm aware.
I would get that.
Get flood insurance. There,
where are you, like, on a hill?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I'm telling you, you got to watch
this. Something with water.
You got to watch. You got to be careful around water around this place. Is your wife still on the phone?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. Is there anyone else around you that's an E or an L?
E or an L?
Mm-hmm. Or just wait, you said your grandmother's Louise, right? You already said that. That's his grandmother, though.
Yes, far
okay.
as I know.
It's possible she's around. Okay. Are you guys talking about having a baby? Are you like working it?
Oh, I just got a chill up my spine.
Wow.
Are you working it?
We're
not
working
the second.
It.
Okay,
yeah.
Did you have a problem?
I'm pregnant.
Yay! Does everyone know this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had no idea. Okay, I swear
Thanks
to God, I had no
show,
idea.
By the way.
But your Grandpa Albert
yes.
is going to watch over this baby and help this baby come onto the earth plane.
Oh, his spirit. That's nice.
Yeah, yeah. And is
well,
this your,
hold on.
Wait,
what kind of guy
first?
Was this guy?
Wait,
he was the only Jew in our family.
But. Wow.
There you go. Wait, is this your first?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, but it's not your last.
But this guy's Uncle Albert. He's from the old country, right?
Yes.
I don't want some pedophile that played the squeeze box looking after my grandson when he comes onto this plane. That's all
sure.
I'm saying.
Sure. Yeah. Do you get a sense of it's going to be a boy or a girl?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
No, is no that, vibe on that.
Do you know?
Yes, we do know.
But you know what? It's like because I predicted Kelly Ripa was pregnant on the air. Did you see that?
Yes.
I busted her.
Mm-hmm.
She went, my bosses don't even know. So now they call me the human pregnancy test. You just, you know, just pee on me.
So you can't.
Okay, no, wait. I'm just joking.
No.
I'm just joking. I don't want any letters. I'm just joking. It's not for real.
All right, what else do we have for my wife?
Yeah. well, I'm get. I was.
Are we going to get divorced?
Things. No.
Okay.
Well, I hope not.
Okay.
No,
well, that's good.
But we
I
have no
not.
Control over it. It's
you know
the spirits?
What? We create most of our destiny. You guys work at it. And
sure.
It takes hard work to keep a relationship going. Actually, with Adam, I was thinking: Have you had a problem with your knee?
No.
Or your back or something?
No, my front.
What is it?
No, I don't like my front that much.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I got a fine back. It's just the front, you know?
No, I'm seeing a problem with your knee or your leg. You don't have a problem with this,
no,
huh?
No, not had any difficulties recently. Although I did have knee surgery about 20 years ago.
You did? Okay,
yes.
That's something that you're going to have to watch again.
I should watch my knee?
Well, that's going to start giving you problems as time goes on.
Yes.
You need to really build the muscle up around it.
All right.
Does it ever bother you?
No.
Okay, well, when did you have surgery on it?
That was, I don't know, 20 years ago.
Okay, well, it's something that you're going to have to watch as time goes on.
I should watch my knee and my dad's blood.
Well, you don't have to watch it, but it's something that needs to be taken care of.
Okay.
Or, you
Which
know,
knee,
kept
though?
An eye on, huh?
Ooh,
which knee should he be looking out for?
I don't know.
He's
got to
build
up
the muscle,
know.
You said.
I got to know which one to look
congratulations
after.
Congratulations on your pregnancy.
Thank you very much.
My gut feeling is it's all good.
Thank you.
Yeah, but there's more babies, though.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
More than one?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is your first one, right?
Yes.
Do you have a number that you think maybe?
Boy or girl?
I don't know if it's two or three.
We're gonna adopt
the
Laotian
both.
Child.
I actually see you with a boy and a girl, but does anyone have twins in your family?
Not that we're aware of, but we are having twins.
Because I'm seeing twins.
Twins.
Yeah, not bad.
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding,
and it's a boy and a girl.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay. Thanks so much for letting us bother you this morning.
Oh, no problem.
Yes.
I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, Lynette.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Okay, there you go.
Go back to planning dinner.
How dare you?
Okay. That's what she does for the first 4 hours of the morning. From 9 a.m. till 1 p.m., she doesn't plan dinner, and then she gets on with her day.
There you go.
Wow.
Hey, how long?
You're getting two at once. Whoa.
Yeah.
How long will Adam Carolla be doing morning radio? How much longer?
As long as he wants to.
That's
now, don't
right.
play. No, don't jive.
No, I'm serious. Yeah. As long as he wants to. All right. You know, he can almost write his own ticket.
That's right. Right.
You know what? If I say, oh, I see Adam on television. Well, of course, because he always does television. Oh, I see him continuing doing radio. You know, you're just going to try to, you know, yank my chains, and I don't want to go there.
Hold on, Dave. You should take your brown karma and hit the road, buddy. I've had enough of it.
Yeah, it's oozing over onto us.
Yeah.
Do you think that Adam will be a good parent?
Yeah.
Really?
I do. Mm-hmm, of course you will.
Yeah. Well, it's all relative.
Come on.
Yeah.
What is she going to say? No.
Of course they're your relatives.
Yeah,
they're your kids.
No.
It's all relative.
Yeah.
They're your children. They're your relatives.
I'll be a fine parent.
Florida minus 1.5. Yes or no?
Well, you guys, thanks so much for inviting me. I had a great time.
Thanks, Shar. Shar Margolis, everyone. Psychic at Large, Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock, Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh, yeah, and Shar.net, Char.net, or sci-fi.com.
There you go.
Okay.
Find her and her work. We'll take a break. We will be back with news and sports. Dick Vitale is calling in. Lisa Tucker just got tossed off American Idol's calling in. All that still to go.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. 866-901-ADAM's phone number. All right. Char's left the building. Here's the thing about psychics. Don't believe in them, but am willing to admit that there may be things that exist outside of our sort of mechanical realm or biological realm that we've not fully tapped into. I understand that part. And always interested to talk to them. Maybe it's just an ego thing. I do, you know, if you have a party and you have a psychic at your party, there will be a line of people trying to speak to that psychic no matter who it is. As a matter of fact, why even pay a real psychic? It's not like people recognize them or ask to see their license or certification. Why not just find some street person to put a bathrobe and put a pointy Merlin hat on and just sit them on a folding chair in the corner and just say psychic readings, and the ladies will be lined up the entire party. Meanwhile, the fellas...
The smell might be a little bit rough.
No, you can get a palm reader. That's not that difficult. Most people can do that, right?
Yeah, look, pile of tarot cards, you know, even if they're just coasters. What does the Lowenbrow one read? Well, that's all. Keeps the ladies occupied. The guys can focus on drinking the beer and talking the sports. All right. Now, where were we? And I will tell you my theory about the whole psychic stuff in the next break, because I do have thoughts on it. I do have one theory about it, but I'll not get to that just yet because we have news, we have sports, and we have the Ed who's been on hold for 2 hours. The Ed.
Hello?
Ed from Las Vegas. He calls every Monday. Gives us a little wrap-up and wrap-around on The Desperate Housewives. Yes, Ed?
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Good to see you, Ed.
You can see me?
Figure of speech.
Oh.
Okay.
He zinged you.
Yeah. So, you want to do a little, little Desperate Housewives for us?
Yeah. I watched it again last night. Mm-hmm. And, I was having a little headache in my stomach, so I didn't get to watch the whole thing. So
right, upset tummy.
You know what happened is the Gabriella and her husband.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy they have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
The stripper girl, give them her baby. She had it at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a little girl, and it brought a tear to my eye.
Oh, it did. All right.
Yes, because we're having a grandson here in a while. Mm-hmm. And I hope it's just as nice as that baby was.
Yeah. You have four sons, right?
No, five.
Five sons, and one of them is due to have a grandchild, give you a grandchild soon, right?
Yeah, probably about 2 or 6 months around there, something like that.
Somewhere between 2 and 6 months.
Yeah. And then the blonde-haired lady, her and the red-haired lady had to go to court because mm-hmm. the red-haired lady's gay son is taking her to court.
Mm-hmm.
But they turned the tables on the gay boy because he thought he had him in a bind.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow they turned the tables on him, so he ain't getting his money that he wants to buy that new truck.
Right.
So that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And Lois has got herself in a jam again.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband and her, well, her husband has a girlfriend.
Now, Lois is Terry Hatcher. That's Lois Lane, right?
Who is it?
Terry Hatcher, I think, is the actress's name, who you know by Lois.
Yeah, she's Lois. Mm-hmm. And she, her husband's girlfriend wants to marry her husband. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have some kind of arrangement where the man have two wives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if they're going to live in the same house or not. They ain't showed that part yet.
Mm-hmm.
But Lois and her husband, they kind of have a second thoughts on bringing another woman into the relationship.
Right.
But, you know, them kids nowadays, they like stuff like that, so they might do it.
Right.
And they didn't show any black people this week, so I'm figuring they must have locked them up from when they had that dead white man at the house.
Yeah, well, that's how they do it. But you didn't see the entire episode, so maybe they just shoehorned them in at the end.
You know, my DV player messed up, and it showed something weird on it because I got the high definition on the TV.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. That's nice. I got it all. You know, my cable goes up to channel 974.
Wow. I think that's satellite, probably.
No. It's cable. From the cable company.
Goes that high. Wow.
You guys had a cable man on there the other day, and I should have asked him about it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, that was Larry, the cable guy, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
he's a comedian.
I don't know what he is, but he could probably help out with the cable.
Right.
So,
right.
But
no, yeah. I'm just saying that the cable guy, I think, was a nickname for him.
I don't know.
Like we say Dave Damashek's number one sports, but obviously.
You know what I thought you said one day?
Hmm.
Was Dave number ones in his shorts.
That is a good one. That's a good zinger.
Now he's zinging me.
Yeah, the ad, I want to thank you for giving us the update. It's concise.
Right.
It was poetic, as usual.
You guys be good.
Thanks there, brother. You call us next week. Tell us what's going on Desperate Housewives, because now it is time to move forward, and that's going to start with the news. Filling in for Rachel Perry, Teresa Strasser.
Okay, so we talked earlier about Paula Abdul's big raise, getting between $5 and $8 million to do American Idol.
Mm.
But there's other Idol news. A very big pop star has agreed to make an appearance, Prince.
Mm.
Would you enjoy seeing Prince on
Idol? No. There's not many people on the planet I hate more than that guy.
Really?
Yes. I don't know why, but there's something I react on a visceral level to the people that are that pompous, and he is so incredibly pompous. And people sort of look the other way because he's a cartoon character, but the idea that he, first off, most of his music sucks ass. It really does. It is dated, and it sounds like fried hell. Listen to some of this 80s stuff. Now, this Raspberry Beret, and I don't mind this song. No problem.
You don't want to hear Bucky doing Raspberry Beret.
No. And the guy, first off, he plays that guitar that's sort of shaped like a medallion from the 70s. And then he wanted to be called a cymbal. I mean, he had his cymbal name, which sort of slid under the radar a little bit. I mean, people made fun of it. But, I mean, how pompous can you be?
Well, he didn't want to use his
slave name. Play a crappy Prince song.
I'll talk about something that you love, just to neutralize the effect of how angry Prince made you.
Was his slave name Prince?
I believe he felt that the record company was enslaving him, and that's why he used a symbol.
Yes, leave this on, please.
Even as I talk about The Sopranos, something you love?
I just can't stand Prince.
I had no idea you violently hated Prince.
It's mainly the fact that people like to throw, oh, he's just a genius, and then they just keep moving on. Everyone's just, Prince is a genius. Oh, no, it's great music, great stuff. No one ever says anything bad about him. They say he's a blowhard, but they don't say anything bad about his music.
He has bedded many a fox.
Yes, so give him credit for that. I just think this stuff is dated. It doesn't hold up well at all. And just listen to it, everybody.
All right. Last night, Sopranos. Tony recovers from his coma, and in the hospital, he's visited by a pastor who tells Tony that while birth control is evil, Viagra is really pretty much okay.
Yeah, notice that.
I'm worried about Viagra. But the way I see it, I'm going to need plenty of that, considering my condition. And what if somebody decides that Viagra is wrong, that God don't like it?
Well, God loves procreation.
Yes, he does.
And hence, God loves Viagra.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting math.
Did you enjoy last night's episode?
Yeah, I didn't think it was the best one I've ever seen. But, it's one of these things where it only gets so bad because it's The Sopranos. It's still superior. Even them on a horrible day is better than most TV shows on their best day.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Three women are suing a Manhattan plastic surgeon for making their boobs too big. According to one woman,
I'd like to sue them.
Right? One woman went in for a 34B. She ended up with a double D, and she claims that it made her extremely depressed. All three women are suing for malpractice.
She went in for a B.
And she got a double D. He just freestyled.
Interesting. I like that. Well, look, that's called artistic license.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She's lucky she didn't get it in her forehead.
Do you tell Salvador Dali where to melt the clock?
No!
That's the news.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
That's it. Thank you.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
My comments will be brief as we have the great Dickie V waiting on hold.
Thank you.
Now, one of the biggest days, maybe I could just do that regularly. You could come up with any excuse.
Yes, please.
Speed me along. Yes. Now, as I say, it's one of the biggest sports day of the year. The end of college hoops, the start of baseball. It's the circle of life on display. Tonight, the NCAA hoops finale. The Florida Gators going up against the UCLA Bruins. 6:21 in the PM out here in the West. And what a game it should be. Two very different styles. The Florida Gators and their run, run, run brand of ball. Versus the defensive-minded UCLA Bruins. Very tough to make a call, but we broke it down earlier from a zoological perspective. A Bruin, a.k.a. a brown bear versus an alligator. The brown bear would win that fight. Even if that gator pulled him into the water and tried to drown him, as the gator's known to do. The bear's no stranger to the water.
I'd do the zoological comparison, but on the hardwood. I feel like the gator could push the ball up court okay, but it's not going to crash any boards at all.
It's got no vertical.
No vertical at all. You know, I've seen the legs. I mean, the arms and the legs of an alligator, on the other hand, would be hard to move out of the key. So once the gator posted up, it'd be tough to get him out of there.
It's interesting, but that bear, you know, 13 feet, he wouldn't even have to jump to dunk the ball.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point.
Now, Shar Margolis, the seer, the supposed prognosticator of all things in the future, refused to make a pick on this game. However, we're fortunate enough to have a guy named Ozzy, who 3 weeks ago sat in this room as a part of the Blue Ribbon panel at the outset of the March Madness and made this prediction. And Ozzy, finally.
UCLA and Nevada.
UCLA.
What?
UCLA. UCLA.
UCLA.
UCLA.
And why do you pick UCLA? Why UCLA?
I live in California.
Listen, sound logic. I'm going to go with Ozzy here. UCLA. Vegas says Florida -1.5. Me and Ozzy say take UCLA.
You know, let me tell you something about Ozzy. I've seen him at those fundraising events for, you know, he's an alum over there. He's a UCLA alum. He's smoking his cigars with his other fat cat buddies. They're trying to, you know, throw a little cash in a direction to get some young inner city kid to play hoops for UCLA.
He was pre-med, right?
Yeah, Ozzy was. Well,
I thought it was linguistics.
With an emphasis on language. Yes, but that's just him talking because he's former alum.
Now, quickly, as I say, opening day in baseball. Dodgers hosting the Atlanta Braves at Chavez Ravine. Giants are down at the crummily named ballpark Petco Park.
Chavez Ravine, by the way, is what he calls his wife's private parts. Yeah, it's true. That's why he always gets angry when I says I'm heading down to Chavez Ravine to eat a dog. He's like, so don't bring that up in front of us. It means something totally different to his people, you understand?
Yeah, noted. Standing on the mound, all that. Don't bring it up.
Yeah, going down there. No better day than a day spent down at Chavez Ravine. Sitting back, shirt off.
Me and the boys.
Whole busload of us. Everyone's playing hooky from work. Heading down to Chavez Ravine.
Look online if you want to know what the other games are today. Look in a newspaper. Now, let's go to the venerable Dickie V.
Yeah.
To hear what he thinks.
Nice.
How are you,
fellas? Hi, Dickie.
Hey, an exciting time in Tinseltown, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Dickie V.
Listen, you tell the Chicos and the Chiquettes to stop protesting in the streets. Turn on CBS tonight. You got a team playing for the championship, baby.
Oh, yeah. Now they're huge hoop fans. Well, you heard Oswaldo. He picked UCLA.
Well, you know what? Oswaldo's not the only fan from overseas. You got a guy on the team named Emba Mote from Cameroon. Mm-hmm. Guy's a phenom. He plays for UCLA. He plays with no shoes, first of all. Can you believe that? Never seen anything like that. He was introduced to a basketball only 3 months ago. He poured hot sauce on it and shared it with his family. That's a great story.
Yeah, I do, Dickie. I gotta say, I always get angry as a guy who started playing sports when he was 7 and sucked by the time he was 18. I get angry at these guys that never played the sport, never knew what the rules were, and someone hands them a football, and next thing you know, they're playing pro ball.
You know what, Adam? It's all about dedication and perseverance, and your coach, Ben Howland from UCLA, he recognizes that. Dave, you know, he's from Pittsburgh, right?
I do know that, yes.
You know, I found out, I listened to him in the press conference, not everyone from Pittsburgh tries to sound like Corolla.
Wow.
Oh, that's my
harsh. I love you, Davey boys. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. You know, quick thing about Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, they're on after you in L.A. Yeah. It was, you know, Frank wasn't always the third wheel. Mm. It used to be Frosty, Heidi, Dog Crap, Moose Vomit, and Frank. And he moved up in the ranking.
Wow. Oh, wow. Dickie,
lay off the poor guy. Stuck on a local midday show. Give him a break.
I hear. I'm so proud of these boys. You guys have a prediction?
Well,
I say UCLA, +1.5. How say you, Dickie V?
You know, I'm looking. Now, let me ask you, Adam, do either of these teams have an L or an A in their name?
Yeah. I know. You go through all the vowels and all the consonants, and when you get to the end, you're a genius.
That's right. You know what? It's going to be a Maalox masher, baby. UCLA, great defense. They're not going to allow all those open threes that Florida had against George Mason. Mm. Too many athletes. UCLA, 62-55 in the final.
Wow, you heard it from the great Dick Vitale.
And we don't have anything after this. All we got is baseball, Adam. I know you're not a big baseball fan.
Well, it's just that every game counts as about 5/8 of a game.
Not to mention it's a bunch of overpaid softies walking from base to base. You want competition. You want college hoops. You want tattooed black men in their early 30s winning and not covering a spread. That's what it's about, baby.
Yes, yes. Early to mid-30s. I totally agree. Dick Vitale, everyone. Nice job, Dickie. Thanks for calling in.
Everyone stay in school. Send Pat back to school.
Thank you. And by the way, even though the Final Four will be over this evening, the final will be over tonight. I love Dick so much, I'd like him to be part of the show on a regular basis. So perhaps we can get him working on, I don't know, maybe he'll do some baseball for us. We'll work it out. Perhaps he can review books, whatever it takes, fashion reports. I love this kid's energy. We will take ourselves a break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
Mm-hmm. Well, tomorrow, Pete Rose in studio. Many questions for Pete Rose and Patton Oswalt. Same height, different profession. Pete Rose, Patton Oswalt on the show today. I want to thank Frank Vincent from The Sopranos for doing a great job. Sunday, 6 o'clock, HBO. Seth Green, Robot Chicken. It says here Robert Chicken, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it's Robot Chicken because I'm going on memory here. Adult
Char Swim. Char Margolis has nothing on you.
Sunday nights, 11:30. Char Margolis. Psychic at Large, Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock on the Sci-Fi Channel. And the Donald Trump, The Apprentice, tonight, 10 o'clock on NBC. Teresa, nice job today, baby doll.
Thank you.
Feeling good?
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. Looking good. Also, Lisa Tucker, who we didn't have time for today, will be on the show tomorrow. She's the most recent cast-off from American Idol. Talk to her tomorrow. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.